really a good chapter. So then I was downstairs and I didn't get to look at anything, but I'm just gonna read it and then read from James, just about wisdom. Because that's what we all are looking for as elders, right? Yeah. Well, I'm just gonna read the chapter to you, Job 28. There is a mine, well, let me see, this is Job speaking. There is a mine for silver in a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people dwell, he cut a shaft. In places forgotten by the foot of man, far from men, he dangles and sways. And when I was reading that, I'm like, wow, they did all that kind of back mining then, way back yeah. then. The earth from which food comes is transformed below as by fire. Sapphires come from its rocks, and its dust contains nuggets of gold. No bird of prey knows that hidden path. No falcon's eye has seen it. Proud beasts do not set foot on it, and no lion prowls there. Man's hand assaults the flinty rock and lays bare the roots of the mountains. He tunnels through the rock. His eyes see all its treasures. He searches the sources of the river and brings hidden things to light. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep say, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has searched our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. This was such a good chapter. I've never given a devotional from the book of Job, ever. And when we started reading it, Jason Vincent said, this is great, this is my favorite book. I'm like, really? So now I'll read from James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. And so, gentlemen, that's kind of what we need is wisdom as we lead this church. Let me pray. God, we come to you now, and as we're in transition and then even before, we ask for wisdom. Please take away our pride. Take away the desires of our own personal hearts and give us the desires that you will. And give us wisdom, Father. At your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Start with people. Got the agenda that I sent out to everybody. And Dave, can you lead the prayer? Okay. I called Ed Bielek yesterday. We're going to try to go out to lunch with him today. And he said he couldn't because he had to go to the doctor. I said, well, how about Tuesday? He said, well, I just can't. So I think he just...
Too much.
Is getting, and I said, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm getting worse every day. So just be praying for him. Pray for my wife's aunt, Beverly. She's on hospice. And I've been talking with her about her soul. And I feel like a Baptist guy. just, you know, just baptism isn't a part of this conversion for her. And just talking to her about, you know, just accepting Jesus in your heart. It's, I laughed inside when I was talking to her. We just talked a little bit about it just to give her something to chew on. She just has not had any, she's been, her and her husband, pretty godless people. She's a little more thoughtful. But
so
just,
let's take just a minute on that, because this is a unique and somewhat unique and rare circumstance where a baptism is not going to apply. And so I'm reminded of the Red Sea parting, and that's described as the baptism of God's people. And so would you hold a bucket of water on each side of her, you know? I mean, just to embrace what you can with that, that's what I would advocate. And I thought, let's just take a minute. What do we think is our consensus if this does go forward? What would you want to do? I wouldn't want to just do nothing, but that's what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share that.
I guess my conviction is God doesn't expect us to do something that we can't do.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I've come from with that. So, but yeah, I'm open. I'm open for any ideas there.
Well, the ancient church's solution was to sprinkle. Mm-hmm. Now it became a tradition that stuck.
Yeah.
But that was the, it was, you're not the first one to face this.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's really kind of the origins of sprinkling. Mm-hmm. So the so the water still had its place in the conversion.
Yeah.
Throw that out there. And then I will say, and again, I'm not explaining, we did a baptism in Connecticut where we put a person on a stretcher.
Yeah.
And then lowered them in the water. And I'm not saying that Aunt Beverly would be a candidate for that, but that's another.
Yeah. She can't even move.
Another thought.
It's just everything's so painful for her.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and then also Susan's mom, she's, I had to take her to the ER the other day, Friday. She was falling a couple of
times. Oh my gosh. Oh shoot, man, that came out there. That went from bad to worse. Brett. Oh.
I think you missed Brett. You got to do that again.
I know.
So baptism and, you know.
There it was.
Yeah.
Didn't get your iPad, did it?
No, well.
They're pretty water resistant.
They are.
It's pretty okay.
There's actually a sink in here.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's towels.
Yeah. It's probably the closest towel is going to be down there where they went. Yeah.
How was your trip?
It's incredible.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you make it up north, the north room?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think so.
Get a trash can.
So when do you get back?
I'm going to call your grandkids and tell my grandpa. Oh,
wow. Next time you spill something, I need to bring this one out.
Oh, thank you, Brad.
Not only that, I was thirsty.
Come on. You can wring out my pants.
I threw it into because I just kept thinking
so much for your little
paper. You missed it, Steve.
Yes, sir, it is.
He gets me. He gets me wired every time.
Jeff Kreider had enough and just threw his water at me. And,
I feel your pain.
Yeah.
Now you're going to
all right,
side.
We're getting what's there.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're going digital.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
talking about it. It's got to be
Utah. Somebody's getting mad.
We're on Greg, people. My friend is looking at I totally discombobulated the meeting.
Grab the board for a fresh one of these.
Yeah, that's
every day.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm here.
We were talking about baptism via sprinkling. Oh! Jeff decided to demonstrate. Yeah. Because
Aunt Beverly can't be immersed, so we're trying to...
Like I said, the scale.
Consider that, and then I basically baptized Brad.
His hands form
dry. Guy has a sense of humor.
Maybe that was an endorsement. I don't know.
No. 0.7 national parks.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of... Desert Storm. I was seeing a picture of a soldier who wanted to be baptized, and all they could do was basically dig a hole.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get, you know, him in. But you know what? I think that counts.
Kind of dipped in.
Yeah.
I think so. So I don't think God is concerned so much about the mechanical side.
Amen.
It's all about
this. The heart.
Yes. And again, back to her. And, you know, I was talking to her. She just had such a rough life having to live with her husband, Uncle Richard. And so I've talked to her about that. Just it's been really something. So
I'm glad you're sharing with her.
It's awkward and weird. Mm-mm. It just is. It always is, I guess. But this one is because she's not. And we've kind of a little here and there. But, like,
you know, never had those kind of conversations.
Yeah. And usually you can lead it and go to baptism. You know, and then get this one. It's weird. So that's her. And then Ruth, she's just going downhill very quickly. She's had a couple falls, and she's on blood thinner. And so she's got a big bruise here that hurts, and a big one on her hip. And so Susan's talking to the doctor about, is it really worth having the blood thinner? Versus, and so they talked about that last time, so she's got a call in. And so Susan's, everything's on her. It's unfortunate, but it's the way it is, her and me. Her, and I'm just her doing whatever she needs me to do. But, and so with all that, she's pretty stressed out with all of that. So pray for her too. And then I'm leaving Wednesday. I told her I'd stay, but I'm leaving to go out with a bunch of college buddies. We're going, ended up in Atlanta. And so I told her I could stay. She said, well, there's no point in staying for the what ifs. So, and then another one for me, I'm having surgery on my finger tomorrow. So I'm praying about that. It should be a minor surgery.
Check the weather before you go. You got that hurricane coming up the coast.
Oh, is it possibly coming to Atlanta?
Yes. Yeah, they're mentioning Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Yeah. It's planning to go up that way.
Oh, that's right. Drop 10, I remember, 20, I was thinking the inches. Coast, but I wouldn't think of coming in. Yeah,
it's oddly going up through like the panhandle up this way.
Huh. When's it supposed to get up there?
So it arrived, it hit land last night.
Oh.
Is when it actually hit. So, like a day. So, and so it's.
Are you flying?
Driving.
Okay.
After counseling on Wednesday, I'm driving to Memphis, meeting two guys there, and then we're driving on over. Trying to get there in time for a Braves game.
It might be better. I mean, it might be better to drive because they're talking about 2,100 flights today were.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Were canceled or delayed.
Wow.
When you get 30 inches of rain,
You know, I read that, I'm like, is that right? And I went back and read it again. The 30 inches of rain.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
Yeah.
Aiden, Aaron,
a couple more.
Yes.
Moved down.
Yeah.
So Audrey Dolans, you know, goes to our Wednesday, and haven't seen her forever. And so my wife's just been pinging her a lot the past couple of weeks, and hey, how you doing? You know, it's been rough. And so Michelle, how you doing? It's been rough. Well, can we get together for lunch? And, you know, just I think with her daughter, she said she showed up and there's trouble there. And, you know, she's just got a lot of stuff going on. So I just want to remember her. Michelle's still trying to connect with her and just get lunch and see what's going on. But, you know, she's always in the middle of the storm. And then this past week, she took Patty LaCoste Arnold to the doctor, and I think Patty's just, she's just going to be, you know, perpetually in some kind of a illness, and so she's fretting it right now.
my son, Aaron, I was in Colorado last week helping him move. And so it's a good thing for him to have lost his job. You know, I think I explained maybe last time about all that. But we got a good friend that lives in Estes Park where he lives, his name is Jeff Hughes, who he was the caretaker at Circle C.
Yeah.
So he's a really good guy, very spiritual guy. He goes to the Christian church there, and I was going to encourage Aaron to go there, but I didn't want to because one of the owners went there, but Jeff said he hadn't seen him since COVID, so that's good. So I kind of encouraged him to go there. But Jeff, at his house, he's a sculptor. He's got an incredible house. He's an incredible artist. But at his house, he has some of the guys from the church come over every Monday, and they have what's called Holy Smokes. And they get together, they have some whiskey, and they have cigars, and they have great talks and great Bible studies. And I thought, he explained to me before, it's like, yeah, I know from our background, it kind of seems weird. This would be a great thing for Aaron just to get it plugged into. So I'm hoping he goes. I got some cigars the other day. We ended up not smoking them, but I got some extras just so maybe he would do that. So we'll see. It'd be good for him to get connected with a faith community again. He even said at Christmas he really misses not being able to go to church because he was working on Sundays. So that was encouraging to me.
Do you think he'll be there in that location for a while, Steve? I know originally it was just a temporary.
It's temporary.
But he might stay in the area.
He'll stay there for at least 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
In the apartment that he's in right now. So.
So Tim and Marianne, have you guys know about the situation there? So that
we announced it yesterday.
Oh, did we?
Yeah,
okay.
Brad
did?
Prayed for
did?
It.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was not in the auditorium. So.
Don was out. Essentially, she broke her fibula,
mm-hmm.
and then was coming back from that, passed out, and then unrelated to that, a few days later, she, forgotten the exact details, but essentially she's got to have surgery on her small intestine, mm-hmm. have some part of that removed. Coming up in a few days,
yeah.
and you know that's just a tough one.
How did she do the break? How did she do the break?
Out gardening, I think, and lost her balance.
Oh, really?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. So the schedule for the intestine was scheduled. So I knew about that 2 or 3 weeks ago because she was scheduled to be in the nursery, and she's like, "Can I switch to a different week because I have surgery?" Just in passing, just as Steve was telling us about his finger kind of thing.
Yeah.
She didn't tell me what it was. It was just like abdominal surgery and just went on.
Yeah.
As if it was just a normal thing. And then Beata told me yesterday that it was her and Tim had had a long conversation while they were greeting about it. And it's a bit bigger of a surgery than just something small, because there's a tumor in there. And so that's what's going on. So. They're having
not cancerous, as far as they know.
The growth there on it, so they just have to take that out.
And are they going to go ahead with that surgery while she's got a broken arm?
Broken leg, yeah.
Oh, broken leg. Okay.
Yeah, the assumption is yes. I think as of yesterday, that's what it was.
Yeah,
so,
still on for next week.
Yeah.
So.
Which bone is your femur?
Your big one.
The big one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So hers is the fibula.
Yeah.
So it's the front of the two in the on the bottom leg, and then the femur is the top one.
Yeah.
So.
The two I sent you, Steve, were more people related, so I'll just hit those right now. We'll knock two off the list, but one was John and Angie. I just noticed that they hadn't been coming. And we kind of reached out to, or hadn't seen him for a few weeks. And Kaylin had reached out to ask John if he would, no, that's not true. We talked about asking him for the back to school Sunday, but I think it was actually something related. Kaylin had reached out to him, something related to camp, to volleyball, the volleyball tournament. And Angie just hesitated and said, I don't know that we're gonna be at McKnight. So, I have not spoken to either one. I don't know if anybody else has. Going back 16 months, 18 months or so, Steve and I had lunch with John. About the time that he came in as an elder in brief, for just that little short period of time, and wanted to talk to him about that. And at that time, he very clearly said, you know, Angie and I have got to figure out how to make this home and invest in our local community. And so they said, well, at least be around, or presumably until Grace graduates, and then you know, things could change. It could transition. So I'm putting all that data together. Haven't really seen them much. I figured they probably wanted to finish the thing in Honduras, and did, now that Mary and Angie you know, went back over there a couple weeks ago. But I didn't know if anybody else knew anything more.
The next day, Steve Jones called me, and he had talked to Angie, and he came up. She told him there were two things they were not happy about. One was with the last year when they did the Honduras mission trip. We only gave them 2 minutes to talk about the mission trip. She wasn't too happy about that. And the other thing was on the mission trip, it was as Steve said, the whole Nathan thing.
I don't know what that means.
I think it's the whole thing of hiring Nathan, just all the scuttlebutt and all that stuff that was going on during that. And then she said, specifically when Nathan went with them to Honduras, she asked Nathan to be in charge of the VBS, and he said, I'm a youth minister, I'm not a children's minister. And that really ticked her off, which fueled a fire from stuff.
Feels like she was looking for things, but she found them.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but the whole Nathan thing isn't anything, I don't think, about Nathan. I think just the whole process. And again, I think they were friends with some people that are no longer here. But I'm going to talk with them about that whole Nathan thing. So those were two things that they weren't real happy about. But I told Steve, I said, well, about the story that I was told about, you know, they've been looking, possibly finding somewhere closer. It would be so much easier if they would just say, we just want something closer, instead of being mad about something. But,
well, but I mean, if you think about them traveling all the way from Cuba all the way here, mm-hmm. pretty regularly when Jeff was still around.
Yeah.
So they were here almost every week.
Yeah.
And then as things transitioned through COVID, as life transitioned them to Festus, it's been, I think, a bit different. And so I think that it's just been, there's been lots of things that have happened. I mean, the accident that Grayson went through.
One thing, they were confronted by Shelley, this was probably 4 months ago, yeah. and a couple of times they didn't come because they didn't want to have to deal with Shelley.
Yeah.
Shelley, you know, about to be her last name. But that was another thing that's, they were kind of
okay.
Didn't want to deal with.
They didn't want to be involved in that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, another factor in here, and again, we're just speculating on some of it, maybe, I don't know, but I don't really know who Angie is connected to at this point. Maybe you could say the same thing for John to a certain degree, but
right.
But you know, relationships at the end of the day tends to, it's hard to make that drive for sure mm-hmm. if you're not connected to a solid community. And at one time, 3 or 4 years ago, they did have Jeremy Picker's small group, and also, you know, the Beechams were a part of that, as well as some others that are gone. That you know, that group that was built around, their small group was pretty much built around helping their teenagers navigate their teenage years.
Right.
Okay, well, the teenagers, the kids have kind of moved on, and so have the adults.
Yeah.
So anyway, it does seem like some kind of follow-up is merited, and Steve, I know you indicated you were going to try to talk to him, I think, for sure, and I mean, I'd like to as well. I certainly don't love when people leave and never even, their exit plan is just to stop coming. You know, it just doesn't seem kind of fully on point, but on the other hand, I can understand the logic behind it in some other ways. The other one I just put on here was Kaz and Hannah, because I feel like maybe I'm, you know, we have enough enough resources within ourselves as a family for you guys to kind of forget about them. But pretty big deal with Kaz losing his job, and that's still not settled in terms of what is going to happen there. And so just, I don't know if anybody's reached out or, you know, whatever, just to kind of offer some support or encouragement to them or to Hannah, I think would not that either one has said anything, neither one of them have, but I think that would mean a lot that they do have some needs. Sometimes, you know, with us being right there and being in the place we live and all that, you think you don't have needs, but that's not true. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's just an observation that I think that would be some really good shepherding of some kind, of just to be there in some capacity, some kind of outreach. That being said, he is trying to move forward with a potential opportunity that will be with a private practice that would start in either November or December of this year. And so that is still in the exploration stage, I guess would be the right words. But in either event, whether he takes it or doesn't take it, the realities are, and I just wanted to kind of all eyes open, from a contribution standpoint, major change for that household starting July 1, and I don't think it would be too, let's just say it's substantial amount of money, and it's substantial enough to basically about the equivalent, the difference they're still going to be giving, but not at the rate that they were, and that differential is about the equivalent of one of a staff member. So that is not the way we budgeted things at the beginning of the year, let's just put it that way. And unfortunately, I think that's going to run well into next year, because he is essentially going to be buying into a practice and running in the red until he gets he'll be a business owner. And so he's investing essentially, he's not making much won't be making much income in the first 3, 6, 9 months, and we'll be diverting that, you know, what he was going to be given to the church. Well, he's not, as a percentage of what he'll be making, he'll still be giving, but at the total will be going to basically this business, new business venture, for lack of a better word. So Lord willing, it all comes back in time, but over the next year or so, it could get really tight from that standpoint. So
I did get some communication from Kaz. I really appreciated his transparency that, okay, he's got this going on, it's going to change some things, and didn't want that to surprise us. So I was very thankful for that.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prayer requests.
The Waltons, I think, would probably be
like what?
Greg and Olivia. So they were here yesterday.
Yeah.
So they've been here like once a month. So, and I know Ashton had told me that they've been looking around. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're currently. I mean, I didn't know if I should ever expect to see them again, but it's interesting. So, I mean, I've tried to talk to them, but I've not been able to have much conversation with them more than just how they're doing. And
hard to keep people happy around, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dave, will you lead us?
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your steadiness, your reliability, your consistent love and grace. Thank you for that. Help us to cling to that and give from that. Father, there's quite a list of individuals and variety of needs, and so we want to lift them up to you, as we've already mentioned, and just to highlight a little bit. But thank you for all of these individuals and more that we pray they can thrive at your body at McKnight and help us be a blessing to them. Father, we ask you to help Ed, Felix, his health as it deteriorates, help him navigate that and lean on you, trust you, and thank you for his example and energy he's had for a long time. Father, we pray for Susan's Aunt Beverly and the pain she's in and the hospice that's got to be difficult. We pray she'll hear your voice and respond to that. Yes. Thank you for Steve and Susan's willingness to talk to her. And we pray you'll be glorified with her turning to you. Father, we also pray for Ruth and her falling. Help that to stop and help her to be safe. And we pray for Susan as she really bears a lot of the load of decision-making for the family. Thank you for Susan and her ability there, but we pray she'll get the support and encouragement so that she can weather that well on Ruth's behalf and others. We ask you to bless Steve's surgery, help the doctor know just what to do, and give him success, and Steve, safe travels a little later to Atlanta. We pray for Audrey. She is really a family anchor there in her household, and we pray she'll get the encouragement she needs help her with wisdom and help those around her to encourage her and love her, and we thank you for her. Father, Patty is suffering headaches and concussion consequences, and help the doctors know what to do, help her know what to do to help herself, and we pray for relief from those headaches. Father, Aaron is in Estes Park and is in transitioning jobs, and so we ask you to bless him with some clarity and some opportunities, where to live, where to serve you. We pray for a church body that he can really thrive in, give him community and employment related to that, that those two things can come together and bless him soon. Thank you for the surgery Mary Ann has planned and the doctors that will be caring for her. And we pray that goes really well and that she can get beyond that and serve you with the health that she's been enjoying. Father, we ask your blessing on John and Angie. You are faithful servants. We love them, appreciate and respect them. And we ask you to give them wisdom and clarity, even if it steers them from the body of McKnight. That hurts a little bit, even in the best of circumstances. But we thank you for them and the blessing they've been for a very long time. And we pray that you'll use them in a way that glorifies your name and that pleases you, and give them clarity where that might be. And thank you the same, really, for Kaz and Hannah and the blessing that they have been. And we pray for Kaz's employment. Help him figure that out and give him confidence and how to go forward and what's right and what's not. That can be really hard, especially with a major change like that for his career. And so we pray that what you have in store for him will come together soon and will be obvious. That's really our prayer for an obvious path forward for their family. And same for Greg and Olivia. Thank you that they were here yesterday.
Yes.
And we pray that they can thrive at the McKnight community and plug in and be blessed. And we ask your healing and help on that whole situation. And Father, there's a lot of other folks, and there's a lot going on beyond our ability to wrap our arms around. And so use us where you can, please, and continue to provide and bless McKnight. May we be yours in every way. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. We got the agenda here. First on there is Moneyball.
Well, I got these wet slips of paper. So.
Killed that idea.
Well, I'll just go quick.
Just kind of discuss the thoughts. So part of it is so out of the box.
So Moneyball, the theme was, we are not the New York Yankees. We don't have deep pockets. We can't pay everybody top dollar. So what positions do we value? Which do we need to fill first? You know, we got to field the whole team. We got to have the pitcher, infield, outfielders. And what value do you place on each of these positions? And so I said, well, what do we need? And you know, I just started jotting stuff down. You know, we need an executive minister, a youth minister, a children's minister, a pulpit minister, a family minister. I didn't put on here, you know, we need a worship minister. You know, just, you know, what is it that we need here? And then for each of these, how much time do we think that they need, you know, if they're stable? And I'm just throwing stuff down. Like an executive minister, I just said a quarter FTE, you know, just running things, you know, keeping people on track, you know, taking care of the office. A youth minister, I put 3/4 of an FTE, you know, and you got a fourth for other responsibilities as needed kind of a thing, you know. Children's minister, you know, I thought Jeff's been doing a great job. I think, you know, half an FTE, you know, would work. You know, we could always go, you know, one FTE, two FTEs, right? But, you know, how much do we need? It's like, well, it seemed like, you know, Jeff's, you know, it's done very well, and maybe a half FTE. And then a pulpit minister, you know, maybe a quarter FTE. And then a family minister, maybe a quarter or less. So I'm just thinking, okay, what do we need? And then how do we start assigning that, you know, and you know, if we went out and I, you know, Mr. Walker said, you know, we, you know, need to kind of, it might be wise to lay off of this till we get a senior minister anyway for the youth minister. And that's part of it is, for the children's minister. Yeah. So, you know, let's say we get a children's minister and we have budget for, you know, half a position left or, you know, maybe one position. It's like, well, you know, is that the best way to field a team? And so part of my question is, what do we need? What should we be looking for? You know, what do we value the most? And you know, it's all somewhat subjective, right? But, you know, I think with Jeff leaving, you know, I think the need for a pulpit minister and for somebody to do ministerial duties, I think is got to be one of the primary things that we got to be looking for. And then, you know, how do you backfill around that? So again, just some kind of thoughts on that, where, you know, again, we could go out and we could pay top dollar for a children's minister, but what does that leave us budget wise and everything else wise for all the other positions we got to field on the team? So just some thoughts there is, you know, and again, if I think if the timing is good based on your email of, you know, we're going to back off that search right now anyway, but you know, again, just how do we want to look at this? Because part of it in my head, you know, I watched the sermons on the last two guys and I, you know, they just didn't speak to me. I didn't see much of a spark there. And I'm thinking, you know, I still like Michael Santiago, man, that guy of the ones we looked at, but he, you know, he's going to need help, you know? And so how do we do that? You know, it's like, well, you know, what are our options, right? You know, how do we look at this? And so I don't have answers. It's just, I just think we ought to kind of say, what do we need? And what do we need first? What skills do we need first? And how do we make that happen?
That's a great question. That is a great question.
Which one, the first one or the second one?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a lot to think about, a lot to process. I appreciate you bringing it to the table. Mm-hmm. So, I think a step for me in my mind is kind of assess where we are.
you know, as a congregation, you know, where are we as a congregation? And how do we move the ball, right? And so the tool that I was using, and it's not a perfect science, nor have I done a proper assessment, but just spitballing it, looking at this whole life cycle curve, you know, and kind of where are we on a life cycle curve. On the left-hand side is typically more healthy, and you're trying to work your way up to what they call sustainable health, whatever that happens to be. But once you start coming down the right side, you know, it's not quite ideal. And I'm guessing, I don't know where we are, but we seem to be in a maintenance mode where we're, you know, where we're trying to, which is on the opposite side of sustainable health, where we're trying to, you know, we have a lot, I think what happens when you get in maintenance mode, you tend to focus more internally, you know, and we got a lot of things to fix, so it's natural that we're trying to focus internally, but we, it's easy to lose sight on how you evangelize and outreach and things like that when you're in that position. And so as I think about that, and this is all speculation in terms of where we are, because I have no idea, but if that's in a ballpark, that means to help us to move, we need some evangelistic focus. So a person on that list have some of that, you know, ability to help us, to guide us through that process and help us to be evangelistically focused so that we can, you know, begin to think that way. Because I've talked to people over the years, and I think many of them have a heart to want to be, you know, as they live their life, be focused on people within their community around them. But for some reason or another, feel challenged in the area, right? So I don't think it's from lack of desire, but I just, maybe it's just people just challenge, how do I get going in that direction? And so, and I don't know where that falls, or and Michael Santiago, but another guy I spoke to today, I don't want to get ahead of, and he might fit that mold a little bit. You know, he's a preaching candidate, you know, that, and I'll share a little bit more when we get to him, but he might fit that mold in terms of that. So, you know, just thinking about what we need and how to assess that is, I think it's maybe trying to figure out where are we, and how do we move the ball in a healthier direction? Not that we're unhealthy, I'm not trying to say that, but how do we move the ball in a healthier direction?
Thoughts? Anybody else?
I want to remember our commitment not very long ago that the next gen is going to be the core ministry. And so we expanded to not only a youth minister, but a children's minister. Mm-hmm. And so our circumstances are changing, but I don't think that need is changing. And I don't think that wisdom is changing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't mean we have to hire somebody full-time for children's, but I don't, that would be an easy one to dial way back on, and then, well, how long does it take us to dial back up? And losing a few years there or something, I just feel like, well, that wasn't very long ago. We made that commitment. And so I want to remind myself of that. And I'm, in this part, I'm thinking, you know, that's, I'd like to continue to try hard to keep that priority, because we're gonna be losing older members. Mm-hmm. Steve just mentioned he's probably gonna move south somewhere going forward. And that's like, wow, that never dawned on me. But you were just one example mm-hmm. of where we've got a lot of folks that are in that age group and that retirement. And so we've got to know that and not just watch that happen without building. So
Dave, would you be, I agree with you in terms of the next gen. So So based on how you're seeing things, would you be open to a long-term interim role for the children's minister, you know, so they would keep the focus on the children's minister? It may not be kind of the Jeremiah approach, so to speak, but maybe someone that's doing at least what Jeff is doing, you know, to keep things
I'd be open to that. And the even a half-time FTE, if that's what holds up kind of thing, that's still a pretty substantial focus. And so, you know, that's certainly fine. It doesn't have to be a Jeremiah, but, you know, it, you don't go back too far, and we had volunteers and taking care of children's ministry, and that's,
for years.
Well, the last 50 years, it's probably been 48 of them, you know, or whatever. So...
What struck me Sunday, just watching all those little kids run up to the front, drop in their money, and go skipping down the middle. But what I thought was, the parents of those children are not involved for many of them. And that's, to me, that's where, you know, it hurts most, is that you've got families, they show up on Sunday and, you know, whatever, but they're not really interested in serving and doing. And I think back to about 20 years ago when we sat up here and said, well, we lost all our young kids and, you know, we didn't know what to do. We prayed about it and decided that we're going to re-level the second floor and third floor and ended up saying, you know, we're going to let God lead us. And it's easy to, you know, Satan could really just, you know, sometimes zap all your, you know, strength and fear and whatever is there. But I think God's in this place. And I think this is a fortress that we need to uphold. And, you know, the problem is this younger generation doesn't want to do what we've done in the past. And I don't know how you turn that other than through prayer and, you know, God's divine providence. Mm-hmm. But we need people who are willing to do things. And you're absolutely right. When I think about, you know, what Keaton said, you know, I felt like, yep, I'm right behind him, you know. And, but by the same token, I want to do whatever I can to, you know, make this body grow and do what I can to help.
In the first part of what you said, that the families aren't involved, that's why I love the idea of the children and family minister. Mm-hmm. Was I think was critical to that. And Jeremiah had a good start with that.
He did
not, though. So I'm going to step in at that point. So this is where I've struggled.
Yeah.
Because I've come in after him, and the struggle he had is he could not get the families to stay.
Yeah.
And that's what he told me. So, mm-hmm. And so that's where we're sort of, mm-hmm. there's one thing about having kids show up, mm-hmm. and there's one thing about their families actually becoming members, sort of as Brad is talking, and that's where Nathan has struggles too.
Yeah.
Because he has lots of teens that come, but only a few of them that have parents that come with them. And so that's where we're struggling, I think, on a different level. We can build a gigantic children's program. We could have tons and tons of kids bust in or whatever, like in the olden days, the joy buses or whatever it was. And it's perfect. We have lots of kids. But as soon as they graduate, they disappear. Because they don't have parents here to keep them here. So, I mean, one of the things I think, I don't know, Brett, if you had it on there, the idea of an evangelist of some sort. Because that's what we had talked about, that idea at one point, that the thing that's missing is evangelism, mm-hmm. is reaching out to people that you could reach out to families, of course, and have programs around for families, but in order for those families to stay and to actually be here, they have to have something more pulling them and drawing them in, as opposed to just a children's program, because as soon as the children get big and do their own thing, or they get baseball or soccer or whatever else, anything else pulls them out.
Yeah.
And the so children's and family minister, I don't disagree, but it seems awfully limiting. Where, you know, family ministers is wider. You know, who else needs ministering besides people with kids in that age group? You know, there's a lot of people, you know, people with high school kids, you know, newly married people, you know, we have a lot of older people here. You know, who do we need to minister to? And I think there's a lot of ministering that needs to be done, you know, so I don't know that we'd want to just limit it to children, but.
I think an effective children and family minister uses a holistic approach, so they bring in the entire congregation as a part of that ministry. So they look for opportunities to engage.
Well, I'm not saying that ministry. I'm just saying, regardless of that ministry, a newlywed would need ministering. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily ministering focused at get involved with children. Mm-hmm. But
wouldn't the small group be the focus for a newlywed?
I won't disagree with that, but I mean, the same thing could be said for, we have Sunday classes for the kids. Is that enough? I mean, I think that ministering needs to be done. You know, I just think that it's narrow to say children's and family ministry. I would think that a lot of people need ministering too. And, you know, you look at the distribution of our congregation, you know, there's a lot of people with kids, but I wouldn't say that's the majority of the people in the congregation. And, you know, do we still need to minister to the rest of the congregation?
So I agree with you on that. But again, I mean, and maybe we're talking the same thing, but I think a children and family minister ministers across the entire congregation.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not children and family ministering across the entire congregation.
Right. And again, I wouldn't mind. It's that you put children on it. And again, I'm just thinking, like, what slot do we need? I think we need somebody that ministers to the congregation. They need to minister to the children, to the youth,
involvement
to,
of some sort,
you know, the married people, and, the single young men, single young women. You know, you can attach it to the children if you want to, but again, if you're hiring a children's minister like Jeremiah, you know, that focus is pretty narrow.
Yeah, could be, but I think there's opportunity to make it broader.
Right, but I would say it's just a strange title if you're going to do that.
Yeah, and I know that. So, I mean, one of my good friends is a single person, and that's the concern he has, I think, for our church moving forward, that there is, he's single. He's not retired yet, or he's sort of semi-retired. Yeah. But he's sitting in that situation that there's something missing, and just like
Adam,
so you're
Shelley's
saying,
and
yeah,
stuff
and so
like
all
that.
Of these, all the college people that have now gone into the next level, they're no longer college. They either have to go serve at the college group, or they don't really have much, and then you have the older widows, or like the younger widows, however you want to consider them, whether you have Marianne or you have Susie or you have others that they're not, in my classification, these 80, 90-year-old widow kind of people. They're the ones that are this middle group.
They're taking care of the church off.
Yeah, and so they're taking, yeah. So in those kinds of people that they're missing out on family because, one, their families don't go here all the time. And then the other is that they are not, I mean, they feel bad when they're there as part of a family. So for me to get Jeff to come to some children's thing, it's tough. Even though there's things to minister, he likes hanging out with Ethan or to different people, but generally it's hard for him to be pulled into things like that, even though he's available all the time.
Two words that come to my mind are a discipleship community. And separate both of those, but then also bring them together, having something like that.
Right, and again, my thought is, what do we need?
Yeah.
And I don't know, we're not going to get the answers tonight, but if that's what we need and we hire for something else, you know, we've missed an opportunity.
Yeah. And just the money ball illustration there, I'm not sure how you can hire somebody just to do half the work. if, because they've got to support their family, so, but maybe you have a children's minister that's also an executive.
Well, that's
minister.
What I'm saying is,
okay,
we have certain FTEs that we can afford, right? And so here's the responsibilities we need to be done. And we're going to say, I know what you want to do, but here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do half your time here, a quarter of your time here, a quarter of your time there. And that's what we need. And yeah. So, yeah, that's, if you can't find somebody that's just going to be able to work half time, that's what you're going to have to do.
I think that would be an effective way, too, when we are looking for candidates, you know, so that they know coming in what's expected of them. It's a little harder to to recalibrate someone once they've been doing their job. We
right.
get that little pushback, but I think, we know what we're looking for.
Yeah.
When we're talking to the candidate, we can see if that person has those skill sets and has the passion and desire to do the job, right?
Right.
So I agree, we need to know what we're looking for. And these children's ministry is part of it. I think our congregation, you speak to that, in terms, you have children, you were one of the guys at the table that has children. How important is a children's minister to your family?
Having a dedicated minister to that, I don't know. But having a children's worship service that the kids look forward to going to mm-hmm. is so key, because like for me, at their age, I'm not looking for them to be awesome Bible scholars yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for them to be like super plugged in like the youth group is. I'm just looking for them to come to church and have a positive experience mm-hmm. so they, aren't reluctant to mm-hmm. come back.
Okay.
So I don't know about that. But what I do know is that it's already challenging to find a children's minister
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
And the... I think we'll have a bigger challenge if we're trying to make that more complex
yeah.
role, barring us finding a candidate who already has the skill set for that.
Yeah.
Like the person who that we made an offer to,
mm-hmm.
She would have been great for that kind of thing.
Would have.
But like the person we interviewed recently, very children ministry focused.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
the other things, but also it's been my experience, at least in the IT world, that you don't have to hire people who are already experts at the job.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have people who have experience in the field
mm-hmm.
and then who have willingness to be trained into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it might be challenging to train a person into that if we don't have the expertise ourselves.
Mm.
But what we can't have is goals mm-hmm. and then oversight where we follow up and say, hey, we would like these kind of programs to move forward
mm-hmm.
and then just meet with them every week or once a month or whatever and see how that's going.
Mm-hmm.
People will step up.
I agree.
I guess I'm not super clear on the family minister part still, because my understanding was that part of that was like marriage counseling and marriage seminars, that type of thing. But it sounds like what we're looking at a lot more than that. I'm just not sure what it is.
Yeah, it could be some of that, but it's more of one of the big components is helping to equip parents so they can be, part of the spiritual formation of their kids, equipping the parents.
It's almost beyond the Sunday program.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, how does that look?
In terms of...
Here's
a practical example. So when we were hiring Jeremiah and Matthew Bartowell, David was talking about baptism. And Matthew Bartowell and Jeremiah they got together and talked about, because Matthew was wondering, hey, what are some of the resources I can be reading, what I need to be reading, how I can come to speed to kind of make sure that, David's ready. Jeremiah provided some resources, helped him kind of work through some of that, right? They stay connected so that Matthew felt confident walking with David through that process. That would be one example, something like that.
Okay. I guess I kind of took it granted that was part of children's ministry.
Yeah, that's
partly because the candidates that we interviewed all responded because we asked them about what happens when there's a kid that might be interested in baptism,
mm-hmm.
and they all responded like that was kind of their path they'd be taking, where they're giving resources
yeah.
for a parent.
Yeah, I think kids are being trained more thinking holistically now. So when we met with Jennifer, she said the training of college graduates now are more children family minister. So I don't know if it's a, I don't know what children's ministry looked like 15 years ago, to be honest with you. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know if it's.
Well, I didn't grow up with children's ministry.
Yeah.
But we also didn't have much to do at church outside of going to Sunday school.
Yeah.
So that's. But I do see that with this FTE breakout, we're positioning yourself to have an alternative to just finding one lead minister to fill where Jeff was. So are we thinking about hiring potentially someone who's an executive minister and they're a family minister or something like that? Like,
well, I'm just saying, what do we need? And I don't know how we get there, but I'm just thinking, like Steve's talking about, evangelism's important. Well, Michael Santiago, that guy's got a spark, but man, he's weak in some other areas, but we got to check some of these other boxes. And so, how do we fill those other boxes if we bring him in? It's just, these things have to get done. Well, not all these things have to get done, but some of these things have to get done. And how do we do that? And what do we prioritize first? And again, if it's somebody that's got a spark, somebody that's got a desire for evangelism, you get that first and you backfill around that, what's your starting pitcher? Because usually you build a baseball team around that and then, fill the rest of the field. But I'm not saying I've got the answers, but, again, it would be problematic if we spent months getting a children's minister and we don't have these other positions filled. And we may have the great children's minister, but is that the best thing for the church where we are right now?
So potentially reducing the children's ministry budget so they have more budget for executive minister and pulpit minister separate or preaching minister separate. Is really what
I think it's just in our heads trying to come to an understanding of what the value we place on that position relative to other things is.
And then the priority then changes in that. So if you think about the movie, so I don't know if you guys watched Moneyball, but basically the idea was you don't start getting the little pieces before getting the big pieces. So you put the big pieces as the first thing. You go out there and you get that. So you acquire Dave, who is the best batter of all. He's not a home run hitter. He's the best batter because he can get on base every single time. So we want to spend all our money on Dave. But we do need somebody that hits home runs once in a while. So Steve, we pull him in every once in a while. And so we're going to get him. But he's not really good at anything else except for hitting. And hitting home run balls, that's it. And so we have to have somebody on the bases to cover outfield too, because if they get more out home runs or whatever else, so it's all about that. You start with the big piece, and you go with the big piece first, and then you start backfilling, is what how Brett called it, the other pieces. So maybe you keep things moving. So I stay on until the end of the year, or we fill somebody else in with me instead of me. But it's still as a backfill as opposed to focus. It's that priority of this is number one priority. This we'll take care of when we get to it. And maybe, we may use more money to get this top piece.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure what focus means. Is that budget? Because right now it's
not. We stop looking. It's not that we get rid of the money for it. We just start putting all of our effort into the one place. And then, because right now you guys are getting burned out, they're getting burned out for looking for the preacher, and
I'm not burned out.
Steve, I'm sure.
He's doing
both of them. So so you're burning double wheels at the same time. So you put the focus on the one, and then you get that one, then you roll over to the next one, and then you roll over to the next one. Depending on how things work, because if you get one that covers three of the places with one pick, you're at a really good spot. But if you get one that's on the very bottom and they're really good, but there's nothing to lead them to the next place, then you're struggling too. So it's always the problem of which is the more priority.
I think instead of money ball, it's whitey ball.
Yeah, so small ball?
It's creating the players
according
to what they're, where they have to work.
So
anyway, okay. I think we've talked enough about that.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone heard from Lanham anymore since we got the hint that he might be considering coming back here?
You would come.
I haven't heard anything about him since then.
I've talked to him, but not about that. Okay. I specifically tried not to talk about
that. So. Yeah. I followed up with him after the meeting, told him at the time we had two other candidates that we wanted to work through before we, you know, got back to him. So.
Okay, let's go into our children's ministry search update.
So I think having direction on where we want to go, I mean, is really important now, right, at this conversation. And I was kind of leaning in that direction anyway, but we've talked to a candidate. She is, you know, probably leaning much more toward being a children's minister more than a family children's minister. She's very young, 24.
Is the one from Lubbock?
Yes, okay. Yes. Mackenzie Leeper. She was at Broadway, but they let her go. And so if we were gonna pursue her more, we would wanna reach out to Broadway's elders and just kinda get a sense. She gave us something backstory why they let her go. She actually started a podcast with a friend of hers, and there was some. And she was a little frustrated in her job because she felt that she was being marginalized because she was a female, and she didn't really have a voice, much of a voice at work. And she felt like that, you know, that the males have a much stronger voice, and so she felt like, you know, she wasn't fit in, and she expressed a little bit of that on the podcast. And the elders didn't like that, obviously. She said, this is her story, why did you let her go? So we, you know, there may be more to it, but they sort of let her go. Now, some of the things that she's looking for, she would have found here. More gender inclusiveness and, you know, valuing the minister's voices and that kind of thing, she would have found. So if those are really some of the things that were really on the table with her, there was potential for her to thrive here, potentially, you know, but we don't really know that. But with that aside now, I think what I would like us to decide, how do we want to instruct our committee now, right? So are we, you know, if we're going to think more of a long-term interim role, that's a little different in how we approach this. And so I think we need to kind of figure out what we want to do so the committee has some direction on where we want to go. So I think that's what I would really like to hear from you all, so I can let them know direction we're moving in.
And Steve, just as a practical note, is Jason okay? Because I don't know, he just seemed like hasn't been around as much.
He's been engaged. He a little less, but he's in Michigan.
Okay.
You know, so that was I've communicated with him a little bit. I think he did take a step back because it gets pretty intense. I mean, you know, he's done a great job of kind of leading some of this.
Well, whole thing with Shari, you know, I think
yeah.
Maybe he felt like he invested a lot in that. I thought he did an incredible job, results didn't turn out very well, and I didn't know if he personally.
Yeah, I think that the entire group kind of, that did set us all back, you know, the entire group on that, but... we kind of worked through some of that, but I think probably some of the residual effects of that might still be out there. But having another candidate in front of us kind of helped with that.
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
But now it sounds like maybe we want to even rethink this whole children's ministry role in terms of a full time right now. So, and I think it's fair to let the committee know kind of what we're going to do.
So it would still be full time if it was children and family ministry.
But is it a priority? That's the thing right now.
Do we want to wait until we have our ministerial full?
That's the other thing. That's a great... Cause,
to have her without leadership.
Yeah. Because if we were going to move forward with McKenzie, I don't think it would have been a great situation for her to be in that environment without a lead, you know? And so that's the other thing.
And then I have to remind myself that if Ethan was coming this whole thing would be different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were kind of looking at that. And so I'm having to remind myself, like, what happened here?
Why did it change, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. If we were working on that premise the whole time. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have this one candidate at this time. You don't have any other potential that you've interviewed, done some screening that have possibility.
No,
we have
no,
one candidate. No. So, and then describe again for me this person's strengths. You said she's young.
Yeah, she's young. I think her strengths is that she has a passion for children, right?
Okay.
I think that's one of her real strengths. She's also... part of her philosophy is to engage the entire congregation, be a part of your ministry, be more holistic. So I think those are some of her strengths. Did you perceive any other ones that may be missing here?
Well, just throughout the interview, every question that we asked, I liked her answers. Like, her head is where we would want our children's minister's head to be, in her priorities and in describing how she's been doing it.
And how long did she have that position?
I think a year and a half. So she's only 24.
Yeah.
So that was probably her first
professional position.
Well, one benefit, though, being sure we would not need to pay her as much as we would have needed to pay Cherie.
Right.
With Cherie's master's degree and experience. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the challenge she's not lived anywhere other than, like, the Southwest. You know, she said that at one time that would have been very difficult for her to move, you know, out of that area, but she's more open to it now. The other challenge is that I think my perception is that when we told her we didn't have a lot of young, you know, singles, you know, she's, oh, that's something I got to think about, because I think that, it's like Jeremiah at Broadway, she attempted to start something there and it didn't work out, you know, trying to get young people engaged and involved. And so, so I think that might be one of the challenges with her as well.
Yeah, I would not be confident that she would be a lifetime person for this. It might be another few years, and then she's moving on to somewhere with more young people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What does your instinct tell you to do at this point, Steve? Is that too much pressure putting it on you, given the...
Is this linked with her or the whole
process?
Yes,
related. Yeah, I think you were asking what we thought.
Well,
but I think I would kind of kick it back and say,
okay,
what do you think,
given
what you know about the bigger picture
here,
the number of needs, where we are with the senior, you know, lead minister hiring, all that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a look for another Jeff to do something in, you know, long term. In some role part-time, and let's keep us moving forward, keep, you know, parents and children engaged.
Presuming Jeff doesn't, you're saying after Jeff?
After Jeff,
because
Jeff has said maybe end of August, but I heard him say the end of the year tonight, so I don't know. I don't know. I think Jeff had done a great job.
Amen.
So if we can find someone to do that for us and on a part-time basis, I think that would be good. You know, and we might be able to find somebody in the congregation to do it. I mean, I don't know, but that's another potential thing that can help us. They will obviously want to be compensated for it, you know,
But you're thinking that would be, if it was just you, mm-hmm. that would be kind of the way you would recommend things. Because it'd be more as opposed to bringing somebody in from the outside with all those unknowns and making it full-time, you would say make it half-time and make it more an outgrowth of our congregation.
I think not having a lead minister in that role, because you could probably speak the nuances of trying to navigate someplace when you're just coming in, new cult, you know, those things, that there's the job description, but then there's those other things that, you know, that doesn't quite fit into the job description, how do you personalities and that kind of thing, right? How do you, so if she doesn't have anybody to help her walk through some of that, that makes it more difficult, especially for someone that's very new and inexperienced. It can be a very frustrating and not very productive experience for them. And so I think, you know, that's the other reasons, finding somebody. And then the lead minister should probably be involved in this process at some point too. You know, I think that would be good to have him involved in. You know, so waiting until we get somebody in the lead role. those are just kind of my thoughts on it.
And Steve, the follow-up to that would be, maybe the committee doesn't know better other than Ross, mm-hmm. but how do you think they would respond to?
I think they would understand. I think they would understand, you know, because most of the people on the committee has been around, and they kind of, you know, the only one that probably wouldn't, she's not on the committee anymore, unfortunately, is Olivia. But I think most of the people would understand what we're trying to do. And they know, you know, if they got somebody like Jeff in the role, I think they would feel real good about that because, Jeff, you know, Jason and Hannah love what Jeff's doing. So I think that would be okay. So
I was thinking the other day, if we had a guy like Jeff that could do that and executive minister.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jeff. Your days at Edward Jones are really good. Yeah.
We can draw up a job description tonight. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? All right. Let's a preacher search update. Basically, we have these two guys, and I think we're kind of thinking we'd call them and tell them no, but we wanted to wait and get you guys' input saying we didn't see it as being a good fit. Is that what you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Rex Butts, and who's the other? What's the other guy's name?
David Mayfood.
Okay. So I watched the Rex interview, and it was obvious to me that he just doesn't have the speaking ability.
Yeah.
He has the right attitudes, but not the right speaking
ability.
Yeah. Oh, what was the story with Mayfood? You said
he was a professor at Florida Christian University or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's with a Christian church, and they're closing it down. And so with that, he doesn't have a job. Okay. And so he's looking for a job.
But, I mean, what's really so makes us feel like we don't want him? Yeah.
When I watched it, he a nice guy, but he is, how I would clarify it, is high church and ecumenical. So high church in that they have the vestments and the strict liturgy and...
I mean, he knows that we don't do that. He wouldn't do that here.
Well, right, but that's his background.
What he's drawn to.
And that's
he's so, drawn to that. That's
so his mannerisms and he, yeah. You know, the whole Anglican bent is his. And so it seems like a hurdle that'd be hard to cross. Plus, again, he's not, I didn't see him as being real dynamic. I mean, he there wasn't anything disagreeable in what he said, but it just really didn't speak to me, you know.
He's more of a professor. So the issue that we thought originally with Ethan, he would fit into that a little bit more. It's almost like if you were to hire the guy that's been preaching on Sundays besides Jeff, the video.
E.T. Wright.
If you were to hire E.T. Wright and him not to be such a good... So E.T. Wright, when he preaches, is a little bit better than his dryness on Sunday mornings that we've been seeing. But that's where he would fit into. He's much more that kind of scholar, and he's a good guy. So I can guarantee
that. I think
David
is a good guy. So. But yeah, it's. And I think we're all, personally, I think we're arriving at something based on Brett's Moneyball illustration and the guys we've gone through and the whole nine yards to this point. I think it is speaking ability, but I think it is really people engagement. We need a little charisma. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need a little charisma, and that's just my two cents in on how I'm saying it, and partly based on a congregation that isn't filled with charisma. With you know, we've got a Peggy Hope here and there, but by and large, that's not really our makeup. And again, I don't mean that can go off the rails in the wrong way. I don't mean that. I just mean I would use the better word as a real capacity to engage people, to see them at the door, to welcome them in, and to help them figure out how to make this their home. And that's why Michael Santiago keeps coming up.
Right.
Okay, and David doesn't fit that. Okay, he is much more pastoral, and if you showed up in his office, he would do a wonderful job, but he's not, you know, necessarily the guy to go out. So it's a little bit Ethan ratcheted up. You know, Ethan was that way a little bit, and now it's even more. So enough said on that, but I think that's the way I'm reading, that we're recognizing our own need a little bit better with this process.
And so as we're moving forward, I'm just going to, so you've got a guy, we keep talking about Michael Santiago, we'll talk about him here in just a minute, and then Kay Lynn gave me three names of people that she knows, two of them former ministers at the Overland Park, Kansas church, and then one is a former Boulder Valley church. Their names are Gilbert Kerrigan, Zach Sewell, and then Rob Duncan. Rob Duncan sounds familiar. I know him from something. I don't know.
And these guys are all looking, or they've left. Some of them have left ministry, I think.
Yeah.
And she's thinking maybe they would be interested in the right place.
Yeah. I don't know. I just got this email this afternoon.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that? I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe it's not because we haven't really interviewed him. But
He's in Texas. So last week when I were in Texas, we had lunch with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah actually know the guy. Well, he don't know him well. He knows him, and he's 44. He's married with three children. He spent 10 years in the Air Force, and he got. I'm trying to understand his timeline a little bit. I think I got this right. Maybe a little bit off, but he's actually started as a young kid in ministry. He was his church minister mentored him at about 10 years, and he started leading some things around 14, and so that's how he got kind of plugged into ministry. And then he went into the military, and he said what changed his life in the military is he got married, and he started having this burning desire to go into ministry more full time. And so he made a decision, it was time to re-up, to use his GI Bill to go to school and study ministry. And he started studying ministry. And
where did he study ministry?
Southwest. And he's in Dallas. He's I don't think he's ever had a full-time ministry. He's been an associate pastor someplace, but he's done most of his ministry in like youth ministry work. He's in campus ministry right now in Dallas. So, our conversation was real structured, and then we kind of got off for a little bit and started talking more specific about Moneyball, really. And so if we're thinking like this, I think one of the roles that he has a passion for evangelism. He says that one of his strengths is administration. So, I think, and we talked a little bit about a hybrid, you know, kind of a combination of some things. And so if we're going to follow this approach, I think he's a candidate that we can maybe follow up with and talk more specifically about some of his strengths and some of his passions, and just to see if, maybe somebody like him can come in as an executive evangelist. I don't know, pick up a couple of those things on there. So I think he's open to, to doing some of these things like that, the taking on the multiple roles.
And what's he doing now?
He's a campus minister in Dallas right now. His wife she's working the health field. She has a degree somewhere in health, not nursing, more health administration. So,
is he actively looking for a lead minister kind of role?
He's actively looking for a lead minister role.
So you said campus minister. So is he in the organization that Jeremiah's in?
No.
So he's not?
No.
Because I know that they have actually, a campus minister is actually sort of, for their group, from my understanding, is actually the lead minister at that location.
Yeah.
As opposed to our campus ministry, because they have four campuses, and so they have the campus ministry. But if
he's not in their organization. It's a separate. He sent some information. I haven't had a chance to read it on the campus.
Well, it sounds like maybe we go to Kip. Well, maybe I'm jumping the gun here based on the Moneyball discussion, but we certainly could go back to this. Take it to the next step and do the interview just like we have been doing.
I think the three of us would be worth it.
Okay.
Do that.
Okay. Okay. Any questions about anything that's been discussed?
Well, I mean, I don't think we answered the question about the children's ministry search fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what we need to help decide that, but we either need a lead minister first, and we interim in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
or let, that sounds like a lot of positives on this candidate. And so I'm circling back a little bit, mm-hmm. but am I right? We didn't make a decision
we
there.
Didn't. I don't think we did.
Yeah, I was leaning towards when we asked Steve his thoughts that nobody countered that.
Right.
And so I thought that those thoughts were continue with an interim, a half-time minister until we get a lead minister is kind of what I heard based on that. And okay. nobody else said contrary. So that's kind of what I put as the go forward.
Okay. And I can support that. So thank you for. And so, Jeff, let me ask you to just flesh that out a little bit, this interim thing. Remind me how long it's going to work for you, and then your thoughts on
it. Yeah, 3 months ago.
So, yeah. I thought it was over.
Yeah.
So I'm in the process of getting the rest of the year set up right now. So the basically we're in the transition mode. Now, September will start the new material, so I can build pretty much the rest of the year without doing much. It'll be done before September starts.
Okay.
So really, just handing out papers is all I'll have to be doing. Extra events and things like that. So I know that Trunk or Treat, I'll sort of be around, and we have to figure out some other solution because I won't be in town probably that Saturday, and I'm probably coming home Sunday afternoon. But that's the next sort of big event for children, but that could become a new youth event or somebody's small group. Maybe my small group would be happy to take it on. But
what is it? Is it the weekend before
Halloween? So it's the, yeah, so Halloween is like a few days before Halloween. So it's midweek.
Halloween's on a
Thursday or something like that. And so it's the Sunday before. It's the 27th maybe is what I'm remembering, like that. And so my family reunion is that same weekend every year. So I've always been driving in to it, but preparing for it and getting it ready it's not a possibility.
Okay. I think we skip a pagan holiday for once.
I told them this on last week or the week before, and I'm with Brad. I'm like, we're just going to have to skip it. And they're like, you can't. It's like,
it's the paganist.
Can
you change your family reunion?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, sorry. But I think that I could probably do through the end of the year for sure, because it will be pretty fairly simple, because there's not going to be a lot of other events necessarily throughout it.
Yeah.
I mean, Christmas, we may try to do some kind of play or something, but that'll be, I think that's feasible. So, I mean, it's just... Because there's time to prepare for it.
So you're on board with this?
Yeah, I can
handle
it.
Okay.
And in terms of managing the volunteers, is that...
Yeah, that's easy.
That's going well. It's a very stable group. So.
I have your wife in there. She comes every time.
Wife.
I have his wife. I have his wife.
Okay.
Your wife. So, I mean, your wife. So, I mean, they all come all the time.
Okay.
It's everybody else outside of that group that aren't always as consistent, but
okay.
generally they're very good. So, I mean, I've not run into any issues. Only once did I have one nursery person not show up. But it was not that they didn't show up. They showed up to the wrong time and didn't know that they showed up. And I was up busy, and I never came back to check to see who was there at the wrong time. And then they didn't only have one on the app. So, I mean, generally, it's been good.
Okay. So. Well, thank you. I appreciate the stability that you're putting in place.
Yeah.
And that's a real blessing.
Executive on top of that, Jeff.
yeah.
Physically, I would have to figure out something that's going to break.
Yeah. Okay. And what do we communicate to the church? I think we need to update them.
Okay. I guess we can communicate that we are decided in the short term to fill the role with a long-term interim until we have a lead minister in place.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have the lead minister in place, we'll come back. But I think we also communicate that we want to continue to support the children's minister role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to make sure there's support in place for the children's minister role.
Could you do that?
I can do that.
Should we do it this Sunday?
I think so. I probably would maybe use tweak the language the way I, from the way you said it a little bit, only in that Jeff is already in the role, so I would play off of, play off. It sounds like a manipulation. That's my point. But, I would leverage the fact that he's doing such a good job in the role and will be continuing through the end of the year.
That's a good point.
And that is, and since
as Jeff, we focus on
Jeff
trying
is
to
in
get
place,
the
we're going to delay the longer term search until we find the get the lead minister position, feeling like that needs to be the priority. Maybe that was just a slightly
you can different. Do it.
No,
you're be up
there. No, I didn't, and I didn't mean it to be. It was just, I just think
the spin goes the right way.
Yeah, this is a positive thing. We weren't going to be able to do this, now we can, because Jeff's going to work the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me tell my wife first.
Okay.
Also, so we need to let the girl know that we're not looking anymore.
And we've talked about Michael Santiago, and I know it's the vision elders have too, in the same way, like, man, I like that guy. What do we do about him right now? Is there anything we need to do?
Well, that's a good question. We could just talk to him again, find out his. We might have an elaborate discussion, find out he's not even available.
Yeah, right.
So, and he was going to start his MDiv. Who knows where his headset is? So, if we're interested, maybe just a brief touch base would make sense before a lot of.
I can do that.
Before a lot of conversation.
I think we move on to this next round. We've got four names, and you could, if you contact him, say, "Hey, we're gonna do another round of candidates because things have changed, and we just want to know where you're at."
Yeah,
kind of thing. And that would be good info. And then, as we talk to these other people, we'll know him.
And he'll just be finishing up the summer, so it's.
And maybe there's just even a time for him to break loose and come up here.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. In that event. It would be, again,
without pressure,
almost without a lot of formalizing it, just exploring.
Just don't tell the congregation. Just let him come up and be one of those preachers we just fill in. This is a guest speaker that we have coming from Texas and Louisiana.
And again, I.
Problem is, if he's not wanting people to know that he's
right,
you put it on video.
Right. Well, but if we just make it as if he's a guest speaker, because we're just. Having him come up to
almost do it under a little bit on the down low there.
It would be, we'd have to be very careful. I'm not sure how that would work, but we can talk about it. So.
And again, we've looked at a lot of candidates and things haven't worked out in certain ways, but it just seems like I'm drawn back to Michael that, of the ones, it's like, I don't know if God's working in this or what, but, what the other people lack that I didn't like seems to be what Michael has. And, he's still got a lot to work on, but, right. Yeah. And so I think the vision elders talk with these other guys, but, if it's more of the same, I would say, I would have an informal conversation with Michael and kind of see what he's open to.
Is there a possibility that we could, if we didn't find an executive minister or someone to lead, that we could bring Michael in and then lead him as elders and find resources to help him?
It'd be up to Steve Autry, because he would be the one that would be filling in. I mean, I was thinking through that same thing, and
I didn't know. He would be the.
What did you say about me?
So, if we brought in Michael, could we lead him up? And I've been thinking about this, and the only way we could is if you committed to doing that.
To mentoring
him. Oh, and we can't do it as a group. You would have to be the one. And we could all help, but. Because I thought about that same thing, but it would depend on you. Mm-hmm. And that's a big ask, and I don't know that we need to do that yet, but.
So, conceptually. I'm not sure how much he's wanting. So we go back to our money ball, how much money's out on the table. So if we were to, let's say one of these four pans out as one of the leaders, or as the lead minister, let's say. We have Michael come in as evangelism and possibly as children minister and taking up the other spots. whatever else fits, involvement, or you wouldn't have to call him even children's minister, but he handles the curriculum for the children's ministry or something. And then we have enough volunteer base to handle the rest of the pieces. I mean, that could be fitting these buckets that are missing. Because really, Michael is very young. He's not going to be able to fit necessarily that executive minister, at least from the conversations we had with them. But that's... Yeah.
I don't disagree, but I think it's inverted. But
yeah, it's hard. Yeah, definitely. It's something that we would have to...
You'd have to flip it, but I again, we'll just see what God has.
So I would like to advocate that we do announce an update this Sunday that isn't only about the children's ministry, but and have a general rule of about every other week we would say something to the congregation. Now, if we did it this Sunday, 2 weeks later is Jeff's Sunday, so maybe it's the Sunday after that. But I do advocate, you know, if we don't communicate, people assume or you know, it's not good. So it's something as simple as we've talked to a couple more candidates. We're not going to pursue them further, and we have a fresh round of names to initiate our effort with. As simple as that. That's an easy tack on, I hope, to what you're going to talk about a little more with the priority of the lead. And I just think every couple of weeks, a third week, you know,
maybe keeping
the shepherd can just give the little blurb. Hey, we've had a couple of Zoom interviews, and you know, and so efforts continue. It's even as easy as that.
I like that, and I think, again, I mentioned in an email that when Jeff's no longer preaching, you know, we're going to have the preacher of the week. But we need continuity, and I think there should be an MC. And again, I think Steve Autry would be good just for 2 minutes. You know, hey, how's everybody doing? You know, lots going on this week. Here's the new guy. Here's the thing. And in that time, you know, again, you have one person in continuity that they will, you know, periodically every 2 or 3 weeks kind of bring that up. But I think if we have that space, it'd be a good place for that kind of communication.
Do you guys have people asking you, well, what's happening after Jeff? We know we don't have somebody starting. Are people asking you that?
No, I'm not.
Mm-mm. They're asking my wife. Not so much. They don't trust us. Like a few people are like, hey, we haven't heard anything. Do you know what's going on? Like, she's going to know. And, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's just my impetus to... Say okay.
Great communication.
I think it's important.
Paint the picture of
during this
next thing.
Yeah, during this period of our time, I think communicating is good, and we've not done a good job because we haven't known what to communicate. Well, so other than he said no. Like my girlfriend just broke up with me.
Yeah, so I'd say short but sweet, and really trying to be very serious as opposed to sort of. Make light of it, just try not to, and saying less is more really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, just so that they know that it's moving,
yes.
As opposed to just sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not doing anything right now, and if we're not doing anything, we just aren't doing anything. But I mean, just not really having a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Here's the schedule that I've already given it to you, so we won't spend much time on this. I sent an email out to those that are on this list, and. For some reason, I got the wrong copy. There's one change. When we talked about you can count on it, all the elders, didn't get much of a response for doing both of those. And I got Eric to do church at the park. And so I thought maybe it'd be good to get him for September 8th. So he would have September 8th and September 15th. I think Eric is good for being in the park with that setting. And other than that, I've sent it out. I've gotten a response from Kaylin Myers and Melanie Sukaran. Melanie's gave me a couple dates that she wouldn't be here. I put her in. She like wants to do God's faithfulness. But then Kaylin said she could do the November 10th. I'm not sure I want the females one after another.
I think it's good to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, so I will move them around. That's just before I came tonight, I had that. So that's where we're at with all of that. And I'm thinking kind of my stage two, once we get these filled in, like we got God's faithfulness quite a bit on there. and having, when nobody's there, just really being creative, getting having some testimonies for God's faithfulness, and maybe even thinking about some people that getting a whole sermon out of them may not do well, but getting a couple people, just having some creativity there, I think that would be, could be positive, could be a disaster, I'm sure. So that's where I'm at with that. There's not a whole lot to talk about with that.
I got a question about, you know, Eric again. I heard some things that came out of camp this past week.
I haven't heard anything yet.
Evidently, there was some discussion that and this is all hearsay, so I'm just, you know, but Spencer Rigers in particular was very upset by some teaching that I think it was Elena Hamm and Eric were talking about, well, you know, maybe there really isn't such a thing as hell. And it really upset
Spencer. Yeah.
And such that he called up, who's the guy at Florissant?
Jerry.
Yeah. And they're like, what are you teaching these kids down there? You know, and I'm thinking, here we go again.
The same thing happened last year at camp. Yeah. Not with that topic, but with another one. And he had a couple series with a small group going through a book by
Edward Fudge.
Elmer Fudge. No,
he's a great scholar. Scholar. Yeah. So, but I'm not gonna. I have no idea what. And he doesn't say that hell doesn't exist. He says that it's not forever. It's conditional. Is his basic is Edward Fudge's theological position.
So you're just making sure Eric doesn't preach on that topic, right?
Well, I'm going to talk about what he's going to preach on. And I don't trust just giving it all to him just to go with whatever. So
I think, you know, giving him the CFS day in the church, that's great, but I'm not sure that we want to be putting him up front with some of these question marks.
But that CFS day is the day, isn't that the day they had their event?
That's the 22nd. Are you talking about just getting up to talk about CFS? Is that what you're meaning?
You just put that in there to indicate that's when it was, right?
That's
wasn't for Eric to speak.
No. That's their...
But he's still talking about having Eric speak three times.
I
wasn't going to do three.
Right. Oh, you were going to give
him. You were going to
say something about available that day.
That's what I thought.
Get that ready.
I talked to him about the 15th, and I thought, well, it's... Maybe he could do the 8th, because it didn't sound like you guys were interested in doing two in a row there with all the elders.
I was hoping we could talk about that.
And I told him, I said, I'm not sure on the 8th. I'm not sure what the elders want to do there. So if you guys want to do the 8th, I can tell them we just have him on the 15th.
Well, is he available on the 15th?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
For the church in the park.
I don't mind putting him in there once, but... You know, right now I'm just leery of what's going to happen here. I think there's some friction that, you know, is brewing.
And with who?
I know Steve Hopp was very upset when Spencer told him all about this. And it just seems like down at camp, they seem to create issues that,
things that, I got opinions about that, and I'm probably on the same line as you are with that. I don't know if he's very wise in what he does down there with the teaching part.
So, you know, again, with Lane, you know, it seems like it comes from his girls coming, you know, thinking, want to deal with that, you know. I'm not particularly apprised of wanting to encourage that. So
that's why when he speaks, I want to know what he's going to speak on.
Okay.
So do you guys want to do the 1st and the 8th with all the elders?
a good yes or no tonight would be good.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's what I don't
with,
know. I don't.
All right,
know
so with you can count on it. Talking about the future, our hope, the future is better. That type of thing, or we can even change that up. But mainly the elders are up there. The originally talked about having that. Jeff's gone, and just us to give help them to have some confidence as we move forward as a church.
What about putting some biblical stuff in there?
Huh. You know, well, crazy hope, idea. Hope is pretty biblical.
Well, that's
where we decide.
Right.
Well, making it biblical about our hope in the future. The church is very biblical.
Yeah.
Hope is very biblical, and so I'm not encouraged to do something that's not biblical. We have a topic. And then as the elders, we...
Are you talking about all eight of us doing that?
However you want to do it. I'll be gone, so maybe there'll be seven.
On one Sunday?
Or two Sundays. No. Just kind of a team effort.
I'll volunteer.
Okay. Do we want to have it as a team of elders? It doesn't have to be everybody, mm-hmm. but just a few.
I just think the more over a couple Sundays,
yeah.
But trying to get four or five or six, seven or eight people in one presentation, I think
it's too chaotic.
It doesn't have to be everybody, but just having the elders are doing it, and then they just decide how they want to do it.
Yeah. So like thinking like a couple each Sunday, two guys each Sunday.
And for I had it just for those two, okay. and then the next one. So I can tell Eric, he just has the 15th.
I think Steve, you brought it up, or somehow it came up. You know, should we limit this to 15, 20 minutes? And I think that's a great idea.
I put in the email, keep it at about 20 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
You're talking about the total time for
for preaching. Yeah. I thought 15 to 20 it makes it a little. It's hard to. Present something in that short.
Well, if you're
going to
divide it up, right? Then you're saying.
No, he's
talking about
the
every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Yeah, I'm talking about every Sunday.
Yeah.
Telling those that are preaching to keep it at about 20 minutes.
Right. But still, then if it's 15 minutes, you got to divide it by
however many people.
Two or three.
Yeah.
You really couldn't divide by four.
No. I'm not talking about all the elders, but the elders. Okay. And you decide how you want the elders to team up on that.
That's shorter than a communion thought at that point.
Right.
Well, it depends on the communion thoughts have been getting longer and longer.
Yeah, I agree
with it. Right. So, and when the elders do it, it could be a little longer and then shorter. It's however the elders want to do it. So what I hear you saying is the first and the eighth continue with all the elders. And I'll have Eric do Church in the Park, and I will talk with him about what he's going to talk about. But I guess the suggestion was Operation Everybody, but we can.
I'm thinking also, if we're being elder-led, we want to have maybe somebody else participate. That is, you know, I love team teaching. I think it's a very valid way to do things.
Yeah. And so, that's what I'm talking about with the elders, team teach.
Right. So, you know, I'd love to, you know, team up with somebody like, you know, Travis or, you know, maybe anybody who wants to first from this table, but, you know, just to create dialogue, and because it brings people in as opposed to just, you know. But if you want to volunteer to work on that and call people and
see. Okay. And I would say talk with this table first.
Okay.
Yeah, team teaching, I think if done well, it can go well, but I don't often see it done well. What I have seen done well, and makes sense, and Bob Grigg used to do this. So he would preach. And then there'd be 5 minutes at the end where the elder would come up and kind of say, yeah, this is, you know, why we support this. This is, you know, what I've heard in your sermon kind of a thing. And I think that would go well. But I think team teaching, you know, again, that's a tricky thing. And there's lots of ways for it to go bad.
And,
And then there's also a lot of ways for someone that's not used to preaching for that to go bad too.
Right. But so, if you're saying like a Travis, yeah. I don't think yeah, Travis needs help. But some of these other guys maybe. Yeah. Right.
But I think the team teaching that Steve was saying is only for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's very specific to, it's, his plan was that it's only the elders doing it.
Right. That was Brad, the intent when we first talked yeah, about it.
But so Brad was saying, you broaden that.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, I would just pull it back that we wanted Travis to come another time and preach.
Right. Yeah.
He's on the list. So you have to think through, do we want to have the individual preaching by themselves at some point?
Or, I would.
And then do you, and if it's just going to be a team thing led for the future, like sort of a future driven thing, like this idea of you can count on it for the future, then, and if it's the elders pushing that goal forward, that vision. So, I mean, the church has to have a vision. Mm-hmm. And if the church has a vision set by the elders, which is what, I mean, was it Isaiah or that we have to have that lead moving forward. You don't really want to grab somebody that's not in that lead pushing that forward. You want the elders to be excited about that.
Separate from September 1st and 8th, though, we have a lot of weeks of preaching to fill, and I think it's a great opportunity to do some creative or atypical things. So if it isn't, you know, on those weeks about that topic, maybe there's an opportunity, because I'd love to see you do whatever it is you're talking about. I like to see things yep. that are different. It makes people pay attention. At least the first time it's done, people are like, what's going on here? You know, yeah. And it gets them to focus a little more. So I like the idea. Yeah, no, maybe not for those 2 weeks. But
see, like a couple years ago, Dave and Brad, didn't you guys do it when we were outside?
Yeah.
I remember when I started at this congregation. Well, first of all, you were one of the first sermons I heard here because you were guest
speaker. And you came
and
back.
I did. Well, I actually had a very good time. And but then I do remember, like, with, I think it was pre-COVID. There was at least one Sunday where we had like three different people giving a thought, you know, and I thought it was fine. And I've been at church before that do kind of like not always the same every Sunday. You know, they'd have at least one Sunday a month where they'd try and be weird. And it's good for me. I liked it. I mean, not everyone likes that. You don't want to do that every Sunday, but.
Yeah, I think if it's a low number, but I just remember when Siebert was here, you know, I got a lot of people saying that didn't work very well.
Well, that's because one of them was not a very extemporaneous speaker.
That's
kind of really big part of it.
I understand that, but...
Yeah, a weak speaker can bring down a good speaker, is true.
The potential for that happening again
is high.
What you saw was two actually good speakers, and I think you could expect less than that. But I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I just would not push for that to be the norm.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the first and the eighth. The elders are doing it, and you guys can figure out how you want to do that.
Okay. Cool.
And then we got the rest of this, and it'll be have to be creative to get it all filled in.
Yeah. Steve, I'll throw my name in the hat on either the 29th or the 5th, or not the 5th, the other 29th, two 29ths. Those are the two that I would be available.
September 29th, December 29th?
Yes, because mm-hmm. I won't be up in children's worship. So, because my whole group will be down there so for service. So, I mean, that's something that we could do.
Which 29th did you say?
Either of them, probably.
September 29th.
September 29th is the one that's coming up sooner.
Yeah.
Because they're the fifth Sunday.
Right.
So
yeah, I was thinking of you and
so
Nathan.
So me and Nathan could definitely do something like that. Get all the children on the stage, make them preach. Mm. I'm going to train them next week, though.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what I have with that. I've sent out emails, so people will be responding.
Hey, did Nathan? I know Nathan had a leadership group he was working with. Do you think any of those guys might be open to preaching?
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's where we can use some creativity here mm-hmm. with all that. Mm-hmm.
I have this thought when we're leading singing, don't do a new song that everybody knows. Twice in a row, you know, like you say, have one or two new songs per Sunday and don't put them back to back. If we're going to do anything weird or someone who's inexperienced, let's not back to back Sunday mm-hmm. that. Let's try and keep a solid speaker mm-hmm. and before we do it.
I'd say maybe one out of five.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we're risking it with almost everyone in here.
Oh, yeah.
We really are.
Yeah.
You know,
it's, yeah, that's fair.
So
it seems like to me you need to leave tonight with some names at least on September 1st and September 8th.
Okay. That's coming up. I'll let you guys discuss that.
Well, Brad volunteered.
Mm-hmm. I'll take 10 minutes one day. If it's 20 minutes, I think we may want to talk about, as a group, what we want to the congregation to hear us talk about. Like, I don't know, what, you know, when we talk about hope and vision, what are those subject matters we want to talk about?
So you're saying you'll
I'll take 10 minutes one day
with Brad,
whatever
day. Okay. Yeah. And one thing is, you guys are talking about that. Once I get like four people going to do faithfulness, I will meet with them, and we'll just meet and just brainstorm on how what are we, I'll give them some direction, but let them talk what's on their heart with whatever that topic is. So first, they won't duplicate, and second, okay, so they can kind of talk through how they want to tie all that together. That's
so Steve, so you can count on it. So you're thinking that if we have two elders each Sunday, are you thinking like four different things while we're excited about the future? Like we can count on, this is why we can count on it. So you have one elder talk about this one thing, and then another elder say we can count on it because we, you know, God is in control. Whatever the message is.
That kind of, and that's what you can get together and develop what you want to talk about with that, with the hope and the future and all that.
Okay. All right. So at some point we want to kind of be connected on who's going to talk about what. Yeah. All right. Do you want us to come up with those pieces?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I'll leave that to you guys.
Right. I'll give you an example of what I was thinking of. There's a passage in Exodus that talks about God's name is jealous. He's a jealous God. And that's, you know, jealousy is not exactly one of those things you think about as being, you know, but if you connect that thought with what he wants and throw in, say, little Hosea, mm-hmm, and say, because Hosea was the person that God said, why don't you go down and marry a prostitute and have children by her? Because that's how I feel, you know. Those kinds of biblical examples coming straight from the Bible, mm-hmm, we don't have to say much because it's the stories that God has, you know, put there for us to learn. And that's why I'm saying, I don't want to get up and talk about what we're going to do. And, you know, it needs to be focused on seeing those threads through the Old Testament, the prophets, the Psalms. I love what we've done, Jeff, you know, all of that. There's so much there that it's just, you know, it's easy.
Right. Well, I like those stories, but I don't understand the connection with you can count on it or our hope. I mean, they're good stories, but I'm just not sure.
You get to Revelation and, you know,
right,
eternity is a long period of time.
Right, right. You know. Well, I'm just saying, you know, Hosea is a great story, but, yeah, you know, is it this topic? And that's what I'm just wondering is.
But I think there's a way to blend those things in ways that give people a different point of view on something. At least that's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just.
You think that specific example of Hosea fits better with God's faithfulness, maybe?
Well, I'm just wondering.
Despite his feeling, you know, God is there for us, even though we treat him that way, and he's calling us to better. I don't know. But is that your...
Well, I'm just saying I like those stories, but I thought what we were going to talk about is confidence moving forward. You can count on it, was what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how the story of Hosea, how you're going to get there.
I'll change that. Go back to Esther.
Yeah.
You know, for such a time as this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's fine. I'm just saying. You
know, I use all those.
Right. Yeah.
Here's a book that isn't, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it just, as long as it's not a non sequitur, it's not a non sequitur, but that should be fine. So I just wanted to make sure I understood the connection.
Well, I think, and maybe particularly not, I think you could connect what Brad's saying, but I think if you've got two speakers, you don't want them to feel, you want it to somehow complement,
right,
so that we're all kind of, you get to the end and you get why both speakers spoke.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that mm-hmm. there does need to be some mm-hmm. way that it gets integrated back into this terminology mm-hmm. or some other terminology.
Yeah. I'm just trying to throw up.
I understand. Right, you're trying, and not wasn't really trying to put that down, because I think the thematic idea of God's, and maybe it is a little bit more related to God's faithfulness, but I think when we, I don't remember if that term came from when we sat together.
Yeah,
Steve,
that was what that was.
But I think I was generating ideas, and it was like, look, this isn't depend on the elders. This isn't dependent on the staff being here or not being here. Yeah. God's plans are so much bigger than Amen. All this. And guess Amen. What? Amen. Jesus is at the right hand yeah. of the Father, and he's not going anywhere. Yeah. You know, that's kind of where the thought process was coming. And guess what, church? The Holy Spirit is living within you and within the community mm-hmm. of faith. And so what are we, where are we putting our hope and where are we putting our trust? And that was kind of the idea of, you can count, what can you count on? You can count on God working out his will and his way, regardless of who's involved in it.
Yeah.
And so that was the big idea.
Yeah. Amen. Joseph is a great story of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So we got two people. We need two other people for the other Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we've got Brad and Steve Walker. Don Fitz.
Which Sunday do you want?
The 8th. Oh, we got. I'm sorry. You're asking.
No, I'm wide open. I'm whatever you want.
The 1st is Labor Day weekend. Right?
Yeah. It usually is.
It is, yeah.
You guys got me scared now, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's too much analysis.
That's
here.
Right.
And the 8th,
I'm
not.
I'm gone on the 8th.
Are you?
So you're on the September 1 then. Okay.
Okay.
So, got Don Fitz for you.
I think you two. I mean, you guys are.
Yeah, you work together.
Yeah, you work well together.
So Don and Brad, and then Steve and
Don, you just have to be more interesting than N.T. Wright. I mean, you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Dave Weiler?
You got that.
Doing tag team preaching.
That's kind of true, yeah.
Just one of them's that on video.
So the interesting thing about the two of you doing it together is you guys were in the youth group together, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a very interesting picture because you guys sort of deviated from each other.
Yeah.
For a long time, and then now you're back together, working to bring that. So, I mean, that may be one of those things that you grab on.
Yeah.
And,
we'll talk about Stanley Show.
I didn't say talk about Stanley and all what caused the division, but I mean, just that whole picture that you guys started off together with a goal of being followers of Jesus, and then it led you to two different places in life that ended up coming back, merging back together. And just that picture that you guys had for the merger of the congregations, because you guys were both part of that whole picture and the picture really that you have for the future.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really a positive, I think, picture to start off with.
So, Dave Weiler?
I am actually gone both the 1st and the 8th.
Oh, how convenient.
So, I'm realizing that here.
See, so that leaves Brett.
Well, so you're back there at the 8th, aren't you?
I've got flight on the 5th through the 14th or something like that, but that might all change.
Okay.
But I'm not sure right now.
So, Brett, you're not ready. Come on, man. Brett, you and
there's
Steve,
a lot of things I'm not good at, and that's... Oh.
So
we'll struggle with it.
Okay. I might know in the next couple weeks.
Okay. Right.
Put some dark sunglasses on. You won't see anybody
in front
of you.
Okay, I'll pencil myself in.
You talk really good. So, I mean, you just can't see anybody.
You underestimate your ability.
I will pencil myself in. Okay.
And, Brett, you do a good job on the closing.
Yes, you do.
You always do a nice job of integrating what has been said before.
And not contradicting the sermon.
Yeah, not contradicting it, but playing off of it. And you can do the same thing.
I'll do that. Okay. I've told Dave Weiler that it's a Mark Twain quoted, it takes me 30 minutes to prepare for an impromptu 5-minute speech. That is 100% me.
This is the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
I wanted to congratulate you on it. It really was a good thing, but there was one thing you missed.
What?
You said that when Job lost all of his children and his wife, he didn't lose his wife.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Well, she didn't die.
Yeah.
But he definitely lost his wife.
His wife told him he should curse
That's
God.
That's right. Curse God, die. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That's true.
Okay, we've got that. So.
Okay.
Now, before we start.
Guys, we've got to move it along.
Real quick, though, I do think it's important that we have continuity, and if you could be the MC every Sunday. I mean, to me, that seems like a good idea.
Well, when he's here?
Yeah.
Maybe not every Sunday.
No continuity. Well,
yeah, because again, everything's going to get mixed up, and so
it could come from the fact that I think we should be having an elder do the opening and an elder doing the closing, and it could be two different elders every week.
What if we move away from having a closing?
Well, and again, real quick though, I don't disagree with this, but I think people underestimate what Jeff Kreider does when he gets up there, and if you guys watch him. I don't know. I'm guessing that you're very specific about what you do. So when you open up, he is upbeat. When he gets up there, he's upbeat. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. He'll say, here's what we got going on, you know, all this great stuff. And there's just a vibe. And so every Sunday he sets that vibe. And then he says, okay, here's what we've been talking about. Here's what we're going to go do. And I think we just need to have somebody to do that. Now, I think if you do that every other Sunday, it takes a while to get that vibe. And again, I think you're intentional about that. But
oh, absolutely, sure.
And well, I just think that's something that's important.
Well, I was kind of, you know, when Betty got up and kind of wandered what she was saying, I thought, ooh, this is not good. I mean, I think we got to be careful just letting anybody get up there.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying, is you have a person, and then, you know, the first few times it's not going to be real good, but then, you know, they're going to get better and better, and they just, a 2-minute introduction, you know, here's the next speaker, and, you know, introduce the topic, and I just think that's important, just, you know, given all of the turmoil we're going to be having for the rest of the year. But that's just my
thought. I would agree. I mean, just, you know, I'd ask my opinion, and I probably shouldn't weigh in, but I would agree that I think rather than rotating this group again, that's maybe not as good to do that in terms of the opening as have, you know, whether it needs to be, you know, I'm gonna shut up.
I think Kaylin does a great job. She's good, very positive.
I think, yes, I think if we just have a person though, then I think she does well.
It looks really good to have the elders or an elder come up and kind of, this is who's going to talk, and it's kind of like you're endorsing him.
Right.
Like it helps for sure.
Yeah, the problem with Kaylin is she's leading worship, so it would pull away from her role to introduce the next person. Mm-hmm. So I'm agreeing with that kind of thing too. And it's just, and it's not really saying anything or teaching anything. It's just walking up and saying, guess what? You have a really great speaker today. Brad Stevens is your speaker, and you don't may not
Let's
know
give
him.
Give it up for him. Give it up for him.
You want to know him, and it's a big thing. And it could be, and it's Brad. I mean, it's Brad. Everybody knows Brad. Yeah. Brad's been here since the church was founded, and I mean, since 33 AD.
I think it can be quite meaningful.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be about the introduction of the speaker. I think it has to be about setting where we've been and where we're going. So it provides a continuity in that is more important than we're not trying to introduce the elders. We're trying to say we're in the second week of a series called Operation Everybody.
Definitely. Right.
Okay. And this is, you know, last week we heard from Dave Weiler on Operation Everybody, and here was Dave's point. This week we're going to get to hear from Brad. Okay. Just in other words, we're trying to create that bridge and that continuity. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people that go on the stage compared to most churches, way, way more. And so that can be good, but it can also create a certain level of
disconnection.
Disconnection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we need continuity.
I'm just thinking we need to be more visible with Jeff's absence. I don't think it's who's up there. It's just the fact that, you know, they get to see the elder, you know, and if somebody's new or they, you know, want to talk to somebody, we're making ourselves more available.
I don't disagree, but I think it has to be the same person, and that person has to get comfortable in that role.
What about this, Brett? What about one person per month? Because I don't know that it has to be the same person, but I think...
Well, it has to be somebody with a certain personality.
I agree with that.
That you have to be, that. You know, somewhat effervescent and you know...
Yeah. And I wouldn't have asked Benny to do that.
Right.
For instance, I don't think that that was right. Kaylin. And Kaylin, we're going to get to this item in a minute, but there needs to be more oversight, in my opinion, in my absence, over the worship itself. Because Kaylin, she's wonderful, okay, and she's very inclusive and all of this. But I could have almost anticipated that Betty's 80 years old. We also have to ask, what or do we want to present to the congregation?
Right.
Okay, and if we're going to try to skew, we're going to try to help engage younger people and new people, then I don't think that was the best way to start the worship.
Yeah.
Okay, that's my opinion. So I guess I'm agreeing with
right.
Brett in some ways. The tenor in which you start all of that does matter. Now, I've been saying this to Nathan, I've been saying this to Kaylin for a while, and sometimes I don't know if we still get it, and according to my standard of what that should look like. So, anyway, that's just to say, optically, it's on the one hand, it's good to have the elders up, but it's also, I think we have to be careful that I feel like recently our whole service feels dated. Okay, and a lot of this is Kaylin's old soul personality, mm-hmm. and part of this is losing younger people, and part of this is song selection. But I think we need to be attentive to that we don't want it to feel. That we want it to feel that if you're younger, you belong here.
I like that. Okay. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but one other point is what Steve Walker brought up at the last meeting. You know, we were talking about, well, you know, some churches, they just have members of the congregation preach. And Steve said that by and large, churches that do that are dying churches. It's not ideal. And so, again, we are going to be doing that for the rest of the year. How do we make this less problematic than those churches? You know, how do we keep continuity? How do we make sure that, you know, we minimize that pain point, you know? And so I'm just thinking, you know, if there was some continuity every Sunday and I think what you're talking about is, you know, just talking with everybody, what are you going to preach about? You know, let's make sure it's only 15, 20 minutes, and just being very intentional about that whole thing is important.
Okay, we're not going to get through everything. I think we probably need to talk about the Acts space. Go.
So real quick, Acts had been blessed. For years, past couple years, they had the M1 facility, which is a bank real close to the Wash U. A faithful man said, you can use our facility. But post-COVID, the use for that facility by paid individuals is starting to pick up. And so they told Axe, hey, we can't just let you have free reign of this without paying it. So they can't use that facility anymore, so they're looking for a plan B. And what they'd like to do is come here for Friday nights. You know, they thought originally they'd like to use that room kind of as a their place. And, you know, originally it said, well, we, you know, eat here and then have classes there. But, you know, eating here just may be a little too messy. So there's some people thinking, well, maybe eat in the cafeteria and then go to the canteen. So a lot of thoughts. You know, one is I think Katie wants to have kind of a more stable place where they can kind of set it up how they want, put up books, put up refrigerators, you know, put up materials that they may need, you know, Friday to Friday. And so they were just looking for a home. And again, I think we've got options here. I just want to see what we can do to accommodate her and accommodate our needs as well. And I talked with Nathan. Nathan said, yeah, he's fine letting him use the canteen. You know, they can't, at the end of it, they just got to put it back the way it is. They have maybe more free rein on the classroom next door, the cafe. Yeah. And, you know, they can go to the, eat in the gym or whatever. And, you know, there's still this space up here. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out. And it's something that I think Katie was hoping to get an answer with fairly soon, you know, because school's getting ready to start and she just wants to know where she can land and start setting up shop.
Let me throw a few other thoughts in there because Kate, the staff had a conversation about this last week. You'd already left. We talked some when you were there, but we all came and walked around the building because I'm looking for a new room for some of our people too. So one of the thoughts was because of the flooring in here and in that room, they can't eat in here officially.
They
should not. Based upon the rules that we have written in our book, it says this is not able.
Right.
One of the thoughts that Elizabeth had was that if they, because they wanted to convert the room, they wanted to put some money into it, buy a fridge or whatever else, was to possibly take that room, refloor it, where it would not be carpet. And then at that point, they would be able to eat there. It would be some kind of flooring that would be easy to clean up spills and whatever else. They could possibly use the room next door, this room here, for putting like the behind this, the other room. They would use it for a big refrigerator and possibly a warmer, so that the food would be able to be all up here. They'd be able to eat up here. They could use this room for anything they wanted. So if they couldn't fit in there, not really for eating so much, but the eating would happen in that room. They could put up TVs, whatever. They could have everything in there if they wanted, if they fit it in there. And if not, they could come out here and have their Bible class. The thing is that right here, they would, it'd be pretty easy for them to bring food in. So they wouldn't have to come from the kitchen. They could come straight from this door right here, walk it up here, put it in their warmer, their sink and water and everything up here. So there's no real issues with it. So this is...
Yeah. Partial, you know, sink. I'd have to have Tom fix it up.
Well, so definitely. So that's one of the things. I mean, and she said that they have money set aside because they've not paid any bills or anything for now 4 years, I think.
Who's they?
Axe.
Okay.
The money that they have that they've been saving from not having to pay for a rent, they could possibly turn towards refurbishing this room to make it fit their needs.
Right.
And we could use it as well if we needed it.
First, I would say this is a great opportunity for us as a church. We're trying to get more younger people to come here. And I would say we do something. And the second thing I would say, instead of tearing out a flooring because you don't want it to get dirty and putting a new floor in, just keep that one in there.
Until it gets dirty.
When it gets dirty, we try to clean it. When that doesn't work, then we just...
I was thinking the exact thing. Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah. So, and that was just Elizabeth, just because of the rules that are written, any carpeted area can't have food in it officially.
Pen can fix that.
So, I'm just saying, you have to talk to Elizabeth.
I didn't know that was a rule.
Most of us probably don't, because I mean, we've had events in this room,
right.
And she's like, well, officially, we're not supposed to, because there's the carpeting.
Yeah, if there's a shower up here, we allow finger foods and chips, but a full meal would be pretty tough to pull off all the time in this room and hope it stays nice. So
I will, you know, I'll draft up the notes and say that's what we're thinking. I'll let everybody think about it. And I asked, you know, Nathan, he didn't have any issues either way. And so I'll just make sure everybody's up.
What you're thinking is using that room?
I think what Jeff said, that's the first choice that Katie had was to use that room. And so
you're drafting it up that we would agree to that.
Well, I'll just write the notes just saying, here's the situation. Axe can't use M1. They need a place to land.
Yeah.
It'd be great if we used a place here. Katie would like to use that room and a place to eat. She wanted to eat out here, but we can't allow that. But they can eat in there, or they can eat in the gym. And, you know, what do the elders think of that? The other option is that they eat in the gym and use the canteen. Again, it would be borrowed space. They really couldn't make it feel at home.
I think one of the things we probably need to think about is the capacity of the electrical in there. If we bring a warmer in there, do we have capacity for that?
I'll talk to Tom about
that.
It's
pretty full of other things right now for storage. Right.
Yeah, so generally, the things that are in there can be moved out of there. Mm-hmm. Most of it is stuff that Jeremiah had just left in there. There were tables and boxes. So that area that they would be able to use is very easy. And there's cabinets already there. So they could keep their storage of plates and whatever else they need in there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's a lot of capability for that room, because right now it's just a trash heap. So is what that room is, other than Tom's part in the back. And so
would this room be available for other things that might come up as well?
Well, that's what I'll tell Katie is, if we could use it,
she said
as long as we put it back. Yeah, and that's the impression I got from her. Good. As long as we put it back the way it was.
We treat the way we want them to. Invite them to use it on Sunday mornings for Bible class. They can come back on Sunday and have that, and have their space. That could.
Do we not use that for classroom anymore?
Currently,
not anymore.
We haven't actually used it since before COVID. So it's been at least for 4 to 5 years since it's been used.
And the boundless room is available now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So good. I'll write that up, and then that would be a blessing. That would be great.
Okay.
And I think it'd be a win-win for Axe and for us.
I'm not sure, but those sinks were put in a long time ago, and I don't know if they're...
No, they're not up to snuff at all. They would need to be replumbed.
Yeah, I was going to say...
No, definitely, yeah.
And that may...
That's a big chunk of... Potentially a big chunk of change, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just... I think Tom and I can do it.
You can, yeah.
Tom and I can.
Okay. Well, I agree with Steve. I think it's... a great opportunity to really tie more into Axe.
Great.
I think young blood.
Yeah.
And then that's also one of those vision things. So if it actually happens, one of these first two Sundays in September, that would be something we can say, hey, look at all these Axe people here. The reason is that we've decided to let them use this room up on the fourth floor as their home base for their meetings on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good conversation for Brett.
Okay. Let's see. Elder training with Jeff and Ross. We can put that one off to the next time.
Okay.
Jeff's duties to transfer. There's no way we can do it tonight unless we want to stay a while. You want to pass them out?
I'll put that in my notes as well.
Unless, what do you guys?
I don't know.
Can you stay another 30 minutes?
I don't know what. You guys tell me. I don't really know what.
Up at 6 this morning.
Yeah.
Starting the off day.
But I don't even know if there's another meeting while I'm here. That's why I'm trying to.
If you're
depending on what we're doing, what our schedule is.
This is August.
Depending on what our plan is, and
the 19th we have a meeting. Is that a Monday?
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
19th.
Could we move it up a week and just do it next week?
We can do it on the 19th.
Okay.
Then you really have to volunteer. You can't just... Yeah.
Week's not going to change much.
I don't think it'll change that much. Yeah. I think
And
I drafted... I went over this with these guys, with Steve and Steve, in terms of sort of what it is the all the things that I see as either I normally do or I currently am doing. That meaning some of them are longer term, but some of them are more immediate. And that in a couple of weeks, who picks us up? And so I went over this with Steve, and they said we should all talk about this. And I do think, to be fair, it's going to be longer than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because it would take me that just to read through it. And if we're actually going to try to act on it or figure out who owns it, then it's going to be a longer conversation. So can we make that just the gist of the 19th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's important enough to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
You want to give us the stuff to...
Yeah. I'll put it in my notes. I've already got them, so I'll put it in my notes.
Yeah, okay. Well,
you want a paper copy?
Sure.
Okay.
Some of us still need paper.
Brad.
I'll put it in my notes.
Hey, Steve, can I take a few minutes and give a quick update on Jeff's retirement? If you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Can I take off?
You don't mind?
No, I don't mind.
Get out of here. Thank you, Jeff.
And I have a couple things I'll need to say, too.
Okay. All right.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he read it to me the other day.
A little bit of embellishment here.
Yeah, that's right. What's he really doing?
When was the last time you did this? 1940?
Yeah.
Don't spill it.
All right.
Not much left.
And that's yours too.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeff.
All right. See you Friday, I hope.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
On the golf course? Is that what you're talking about? Oh. Who's going to take his place to that? Well, the new preacher. Yeah. He's still going to go visit.
It's funny, we did have to train Bearden when he came here.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Did it work?
You know, he's got a hole in one and I don't.
So oh, really?
He had a hole in one?
He had a hole in one at Forest Park on a little short par three.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It was, or Jeff Goff was the one that last week hit a hole in one.
Did he really?
Somewhere. I don't know. I didn't see where it was at.
Oh, yeah. That's what his Steve Worthy told me that.
Is Worthy in town?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's summertime. Is he really here? Is he not?
I just sent him a letter today because I was trying to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's not there in
you
the summer.
You were collecting
because it's for
the tree.
Yes,
right.
Mm-hmm. Or he's around the world.
I don't
remember
if I've given you any money yet. Do you have are you keeping track of?
I am keeping track. I've got a Excel file. I'll look and see.
How much you got so far? And I don't know if I did.
Yeah, we've got over 5,000.
That's great.
Oh my!
That's a nice trip.
Just a little over 5,000. I got some today.
That's nice.
Okay. So that's going well. I'll go ahead and start.
Okay.
This may be what you're going to say because your wife's involved. Why don't you go ahead? You know.
Okay. So, Carrie sent out an email a few days ago. And so right now they spent $3,000 for the meet. And so the idea was to have the congregation, people make tithes, you know, and bring those in, desserts. And so the $3,000, I think it's 300 people they're expecting, is the list, number of people. So that covers the meat, and it doesn't include buns or drinks. And then here's where maybe some of the challenges might be coming in, because they're asking people to kind of supplement all the sides. And it's a pretty heavy lift, and you know, I don't know. So they're asking 7 people to bring salads for 36. Am I understanding this correct? Each person bring 30 servings of 36.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then 10 people bring baked beans to serve 24 people. Then 17 people corn on the cob for 16 people. Then 11 people pasta salad to serve 24. And then for cookies for dessert, they're asking 10 people to bring 2 dozen. This is not too bad. Then cupcake, 6 people to bring 2 dozen. And then 4 people to bring fruit. So I don't, it seems like a lot to ask our congregation. I mean, you know, I don't know if we have that much capacity. I don't know. That's just my thought. I'm not sure if we do or not to supplement
all the stuff. Did you count how many people there are there? That's what I was, whenever I was looking at the list, I was wondering, how many people actually is it if we were to have everybody individually bring one thing?
So let's see, a 7, so
okay, a lot 7, of
17.
Well, because 30, this should be our membership.
So,
yes, yeah.
So,
I'm
so,
30
so
members,
17, 34, 45. That's at least 45 people just there without the desserts.
So it'd be 45 family units.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
45 families.
And I don't know if we've ever done that before.
Yeah, and they're giving out recipes. So basically you're not going at it, I'm guessing how much to bring, but it's a, yeah. There's an actual
and they're
recipe.
Being specific and recipes and all that. And I talked with Carrie yesterday.
Okay.
And talked about the same thing. And I said, and she's working hard on it, and she's really trying to be cost conscious. I said, Carrie, do what you can. If you have to go over the 3,500, just go over the 3,500. We've got to do what you got to do. And so she's going to work really hard to try to do that. And if she can't, she's probably going to pay for it out of her own pockets instead. Don't do that. Just, we understand. Just do what you got to do. So that's what I told her.
Okay. Yeah, so, all right. That's what you told her.
So how...
I mean, I see no other option.
I don't
really.
How solid is the 300 number? Well, because she's asked for RSVPs.
Yes. So I think that's what they've gotten back, and we know that. I don't know, I guess, I don't know what the percentage of people that don't show, I don't know if it's 10 or 15%, I don't know if typically show, but.
People who RSVP said they would come and then don't show?
Yeah, so it's 300 that they got RSVPs
okay.
for.
We always want to plan for a little more, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my understanding wasn't that they actually had 300 RSVPs.
Okay.
I think it was, they were expecting 300 RSVPs, but that's not how many actually responded yet.
And she said a lot from our church haven't responded yet.
Yeah.
So this is an estimate.
They're making estimates that the congregation, so say like Dave and his family has not responded. We know Dave's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So they're making, so it's an estimate, but Dave may be out of town that week, and so he's not really going to be there. So this is what I had to do for this pizza thing this last weekend. That I had to make estimates. I'm like, I'm sure that the cannon's going to show up, and I'm sure that there's going to be six of them. Two of them signed up, the other four did not.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to count for pizza for that much people, and that's where these estimates.
Let me see how many people have actually RSVP'd.
Yeah. That was a really good event, by the way.
And they've also had like Susan RSVP'd and I RSVP'd, and we never talk, and so
correct.
And so she said she's going Sunday. She's going to go through and take some of those out.
Yeah.
But then I got another email this morning or last night. Asking me to RSVP because I haven't RSVP'd yet. I'm like, wait, what? So I don't know.
Okay. No, yeah, so there's a lot of things like that that the system is very, so cantankerous, let's say. So VBS, I struggled with it. And it's a very simple system, but it's very confusing. And especially if you're sending out invites through it and back, it's just like, okay, you're just.
And it's with the worship, you've got Phil Gold and Jeremy Picker coming back for be on the worship team. You got Bob Grigg doing communion. So I think that's about it for those. And then Dale Robinson will be here, so I'm going to get him to help me in the gymnasium doing stuff we're doing there. So it's going to be a big.
What's the sermon message? Or?
That's Jeff's. He's doing
that.
Oh,
he is going to
do
that.
Preaching, yeah.
A sermon. Okay. Yeah. Final one. Okay.
Yeah, $5,000 is a nice gift.
Do what?
That's a nice gift, $5,000.
Yeah, it is.
It's a nice big gift.
It may shrink as we have to use it for food.
And don't tell them how much. Here's $500.
And I still expect more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus the $30,000.
Pardon?
Plus the $30,000. So.
Yeah,
right.
That's nice.
So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a nice gold watch he's getting.
Yeah.
So, Steve, so the plan is that if people aren't able to fill the capacity of what they need, just for them to spend it on size, spend additional money on something.
Yeah, okay. I kind of told her, I said, we got to do something.
Okay.
She'd probably go to Sam's and pick up, pasta salad or baked beans there, right?
She would probably do something like that, yeah.
Okay.
That's the idea. Okay. I'll empowering her to fill that gap is good.
Yeah. She'll work hard on it, and she won't spin unless she has to.
And give the congregation a chance to respond.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's good.
And I was planning on showing a video, but we don't have anybody that's one person has sent in video. Hopefully she was going to send out another reminder, and Leon was going to put it all together, and I was going to call Hannah and get the name phone numbers of all the kids. And really get them to send in a video. I think that would be very special.
That would be fun. Yeah.
And get that to him, to Leon, to do that in the gym. And then Susan Blaine has a group of 11 people that want to sing a special song. She told me what it was, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
Very
nice.
Whether we do it in there or in the auditorium, I'm not sure. We won't have 11 microphones, so still got to figure that out. She's really been working on it. She's excited and been getting people together. So,
11, we can handle that. So, okay. I mean, there's
11 microphones.
I mean, if there's 11 of them,
it might be best not to have 11. Yeah.
So what we did is, so for the variety show, we had the women's group sing one time.
Oh yeah.
So we had 3 or 4 microphones there in front of them.
On a stand.
Oh, yeah. In front. So they're not actually individually holding it, but it was able to pick them up.
Okay.
And our pulpit mic will pick up most anything that's happening on stage if we wanted it to.
And I don't want to be legalistic, but in the sanctuary, we are worshiping God. And, you know, I think, you know, I love Jeff, but this shouldn't be, you know, Jeff Sunday. You know, it's, you know, I'm sure Jeff's not going to do that. We're going to have a sermon. It's going to be about God. But
I agree.
I'm just talking about those 11 ladies.
That and all that.
Right. I'm talking about those 11 ladies in the gym. Is that would be a place for it in my mind.
So. Well, are they not singing what kind of song is this?
It's a spiritual song.
It's not a worship song?
I think so. But it seems like it would be. And again, I'm not sure yet. I lean towards having that in the gymnasium.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's being sung to him. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's no reason for us if they're quiet, we would not have to have a mic.
Right.
Yeah. So probably have a PA system.
Yeah, we will.
And I'm thinking maybe a roving microphone for people to share what they appreciate.
And that's what we did with this last weekend, that I had set up the sound at the far end.
Yeah.
And so you could hear everything in the whole room.
Can you?
And I walked around with the mic, and I was at the prize table. We were giving
I was in the back of the room the whole time I could hear you.
Oh, could you? But there'll be a lot more people in there, though.
Doesn't matter.
Jeff can make it work.
Oh, is it the one that we used to use in the...
It's a mix. So it's the speakers that we used to use,
okay.
And it is the little finger, you know, like you had at CFS.
Yeah.
Can you even recall 300 at a meal in the auditorium?
We're going to spill over into the classroom right?
I look back at our
still not enough.
Trivia night. The most we had was 250, and it was full.
Yes.
So we're going to have to open up probably the classrooms. And.
I guess, if we, because we were 250 that time, weren't we?
Yeah.
So.
It was before COVID.
Yeah, so I was there. I was the one running sound on that night.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So I guess we could. Maybe there's enough.
Classrooms plus canteen plus cafe.
And then if we have to, there's the hall tables there, too.
Yeah.
We can throw people out there.
Oh,
yeah.
Anything else, Steve?
Mm-mm. No, my problem.
Let's close this thing down. Okay. So can you lead a prayer?
Father, we thank you for this evening. I'm so grateful for each one of the men that are here. And their hearts and how they are seeking to serve you and follow you and let you lead them. And so not only as elders, but as husbands and fathers and all the roles that we have each day, we're challenged to be reminded that we are your child, Father, because the world try to remind us and lead us down directions that's contrary to what we should be. We just pray, Father, that we can always keep you at the forefront.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for... the heart of the man that's here. We thank you, Father, for what's ahead. And Lord, we know there's many challenges, but as we were talking about earlier here, let's read this right here. We can count on you.
Mm-hmm.
And we just pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, Brad will lead next month. Maybe he'll do a better job of keeping us on time.
Yeah, I thought this was Brad's meeting, so it's Brad's next. Okay.
Yeah, so I have July and August.
Gotcha.
Yes, so, but if you want him to take over now, I'm really okay with that.
You told me.
Next month. Yeah. Right. But I'm willing to give up. This month. That's what I'm saying.
One more, you can hang in there.
I'm sure this is already your thought, but I just want to make sure that we're clear that, like, just before we start.
We are, these measures can be backed out.
You're thinking about
that's kind of the impetus for why.
When the old people die,
because like, she,
we're going to need somebody to take
because
care of
she
us.
Had talked about being fired.
So kind of like
it's going to be going to her head.
Yeah.
We don't give her a reason. She's going to assume that.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we like her, and I don't want to burn bridges because when we are ready for Joseph Minister, she might still be a candidate.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will share that with her, too. So she's going to leave minister in place.
I mean,
if we like her,
if she's still, yeah.
Yes, yes. So that way she knows that we're doing that.
2 years ago when
it's very frustrating. Okay, we found somebody that seems pretty good, and we just, oh man, we gotta not do it right now.
We need to get
okay.
So we will, I guess,
and it's, and my brother,
I'll call Jason and
him. But my
okay.
other brother,
and, okay,
my brother,
let them know. We don't have a meeting about it. Just
take care of all that.
Fair.
So anything like else?
Really no, just making sure we're. So she seems like a nice girl. I hate to
me too.
Have her.
Her spirits are already getting somewhat crushed, so we don't want to add.
It's warm in here. Is it warm?
So we have no other. The air conditioner also runs a mask. So this is the air conditioner.
Oh, so it does work separate?
Yes. Yeah, it has its own air conditioner.
We just don't use it, so it's never
just, on. So the kids used to be in here. This used to be the third or fifth grade area.
Right.
Here. This is the one that Steve Jones
bought. There's a burn right under here.
Yeah, it's actually
right here.
Is it the same carpet?
I don't know. So Steve Jones, and he was great.
No, I think they replaced the carpet.
Maybe they did.
Yeah, so they replaced that carpet. But so the electricity is the problem.
Yeah,
room.
I can put one over there and maybe one up top over here.
Yeah,
but
so they had thought about putting any of the TVs in here.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is that because of the room and its odd shape because of this, in order to make it where it's usable,
mm-hmm.
so if you were to have TVs here and be able to the speaker stand here, there's only a little space in the back that you can't see. Because if you put it on this side, you're going to get bigger gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about making it usable.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure that out to her to figure out.
And that's what she was telling me. Yeah. And then, and so you're stuck with these.
So you're talking to Katie. Okay.
Yeah, we were all up there looking. But Steve had wanted to come up here to this room. And I'm like, this is a giant room. It's not super usable because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I changed his room. So I adjusted his room. And then gave him another option of using. Because on Sundays, it's not good for him to be here because they're too noisy. And as they leave, they'd be bothering the adult class.
What Tom and I can do is we can outlet here
and that's
on the other wall.
And that's what we talked about here too, that's being over on this wall here to a point because there's electricity on the inside.
Yeah.
So but it's really hard to get in there. So this is the only way to get in.
I'll talk to Tom.
This room's kind of dark. Can we do anything to improve the lighting?
So the other light is on. So there's two lights in here because I guess originally was a two. Yes, yeah, so I think it was a two-room original one.
Okay.
But this was way before all of our time.
That was a window on my house,
yes. It is.
They
so
put
it still is.
They put a shade to keep the sun, UV from eating up the carpet. It's made for heat and UV.
And it does. So this used to be a melting room.
And it used to, the chairs were getting, because of the heat, they were deteriorating a little quicker.
No kidding.
They put,
tearing up.
Great. Well, I will
awesome.
Put that
so
in the notes. That would be great. I'll talk
so
to
it's
Katie.
Definitely an option.
And then I'll think with Tom about dropping some more electric in here.
Yeah, and that we talked to her first about where she wants
well, yeah.
it. But
yeah,
so yeah definitely.
See you, Steve. Yeah.
So definitely
great.
An option.
Well, thank you guys. Talk
so then, like in this room, the thought was to basically
put a fridge
the
here.
Fridge. I mean, this is empty. There's nothing in it. This has Tom's tools, so we could always move that back.
Wait a minute. Oh, yes. I keep
the other side.
Key to that. I
thought it's over on the other side. So
yeah.
basically,
yeah.
so this side doesn't lock because
yeah.
this isn't working right.
So you did give me a key to here because
it,
yeah,
it's always
and
sitting
I can,
over here.
Okay.
So the other key is it's just sitting here.
Usually I go into that side.
But this is the better tools.
Yeah.
So
we can clear a lot of this.
So I mean, like this is one of my tables. So this was originally in Steve's room. I switched out the table that was there with two others. So there's a few boxes left here. And then there's stuff in here that is kids stuff or other stuff that we can get out of here, right? And they could use this. So, I mean, it's a perfect place for prepping. So,
well, it's also one of those things where, in my mind, when in doubt, throw it out. If you're not going to use it in any way,
well, and so it's stuff that Jeremiah brought up here. But because it was...
Yeah, so but again, you're Jeremiah, so if you don't need it...
So I need to move it to somewhere else.
Or pitch it, yeah.
So I haven't... So I, because of BBS in the summer, I've not...
I know what these are.
Yes.
We used to have the Ark of the Covenant, but I guess they got rid of that. These were on the top of the Ark.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good things here.
Yeah.
The fog machine is here. So I can restore them or put them in a different location. So that's my goal. That's good.
Well, good.
If they're going to move in here, I'll come up here and I'll...
Let me see if you can talk with them.
But those are the options. They come up with.
See you. See you guys.
So that's the option.
Yeah, I've been in here. Yeah, they changed it to
the so this is what I did. So,
oh, okay.
So basically, we came in here, and they had two different level tables. And so we're like, okay, what do you do? And so there's still an option that we could turn it the other way, and then they would have all this space plus this inside gap, and that would give them enough room for now. They were happy on Sunday, so we'll see how it works in the next couple of weeks. And then the other talk
Steve
was
Steve and
Ben, and then Kara.
Kara, character, yeah.
And so they. And the other option was to move them in here.
Oh.
To get Barb to move all her stuff out, and then like she could, Barb would use the boundless, and then this whole area would be theirs. But it's a lot
That's
of space.
A lot of space.
But if they're doing bigger activities, then they would work.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were thinking of. They wanted to be able to do activities.
Well, the other is, we've got a classroom if you need activities. We just go to Boundless and you just do crafts in there.
But it's locked and it's, I don't think, I think it's an active thing to do, not necessarily crafts. Because they could do crafts on the table. And they could go to the gym. Right. So, feasibly. But Steve was happy, so which he's not always been happy.
Yeah.
So I was at least for the first
voting.
Yeah, I saw all the signs of us driving that way.
Well, you've been doing a great job, so hopefully paying the big stuff done and the rest of your package for the coasting is more needed.
It wasn't either because September is when the next gospel project was to start. And so it's like, okay, so I have to switch from the original. I'll start with the original for April, May, and June, July, another, and August, another, and now September. But then from September forward, throughout